welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Well, let's see. What do we got today? We got that 800-pound woman we were talking about in the news, I believe, yesterday. Peggy Johnson. Definitely not a Jew.
Oh, the story gets so much better than you could have ever imagined.
It does.
Well,
the story is her husband was having sex with her daughter.
Yes, from
but
a previous...
his stepdaughter.
Yes,
in front of her.
Yes,
and she's so big she couldn't move, she was just lying in her own filth.
Yeah, they apparently were. They were arrested for neglect and incest in Tennessee, and there was a story. I guess Kyle was talking to her yesterday, and I won't give too much away, but apparently there were some French fries, and they were keeping the best ones for themselves. He was giving the best French fries to the daughter and then throwing the bad ones.
The cold ones.
Yeah.
The little ones, the preemies.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be convicted simultaneously of incest and neglect shows a lot of range. For me, I could see myself being brought up on incest charge or possibly brought up on neglect charges, but both shows a ton of range as an individual.
Well, that's where it gets me. The meth heads, you know, when we're the meth head family, yes. Their whole story, I couldn't help but laugh, you know, because the meth, it was very sad. The mother addicted, the daughter addicted, and then it goes over the top when we find out that her husband kicked her in the head with a steel boot.
Well, that's sad, but at least...
It's too much.
It's too much, but it's consistent.
Yeah, it's all in one genre.
If you say, well, we convicted or we arrested this guy for neglect, here's a guy who won't get off his ass. But a guy who humps a family member, now that's motivated.
Right.
I would argue, you know, not necessarily a criminal, just more motivated than I am. You know, it's like guys who have prison sex. They're just more motivated than I am. I'm not that horny. I enjoy sex, but I'm just not that. It's like the guy in prison. He's not really gay. He's just super motivated, and he has to make do. It's a sort of sexual MacGyverism. Mm.
Right.
You got to make do with what you got in the room right now.
Necessity is the mother of anal rape, I always say.
That's right. I've seen the license plate frame on the Kia out in the parking lot. I knew that was your car, T.
Yeah.
Well, let's change gears here. Well, we don't want to change actually too many gears here because then Big Tad is going to come in and recap his rib eating contest. We have Kobayashi on the phone, the great hot dog eating champion. I don't know if he's calling from Japan. I don't know if he goes back to Japan. He's not in California, but he'll be on the phone. He'll be talking Big Tad through his eating debacle. Also, we'll play a round of Which Weighs More. So it's Fat Friday, if you will. And what I want to say, Perez Hilton's going to be calling in. We're going to do a little roundup of the MTV Music Awards.
Did you watch that?
No, I did not. I TiVo'd it, but I did not watch it. I will talk about it, I believe, in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yes,
so I'm saving my thoughts and feelings. It's weird for me every year when the MTV Music Awards comes around because I got started in my career on that date. It's very specific for me. I got the phone call and flew back to L.A. It's a story. I'll tell it in the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you.
The phone rang.
You'll be hearing that music in the 7 o'clock hour when I tell the goddamn story, Brian. Thank you. I was coming into the building at 5:57 and a half, as I normally do this morning, and there was an attractive, what looked to be 17 or 18-year-old girl who was standing outside of the door, and you have to have a security pass and wave your badge and whatever and hit the beeper thing, and the little magnet goes off, and the door opens, and she was standing there. She had lost. She clearly didn't know where she was or how to get in. I find about 90% of the time someone tells you to come on down, they don't tell you how to get into the building. There's a lot of, we're 5301, we're on Wilshire, right in the middle of Wilshire. Come on down. Then you come down and there's no one there and there's no buzzer and there's no anything. And sometimes serendipity is someone is leaving the building and you walk in and then you go up and then there's another locked door and then whatever. After you make it through and tunnel in a building, eventually you find the guy who said, come on down. And he's sitting in a booth testing stereo speakers, and you're like, how did you figure I was going to get into this goddamn building? You know, there's a lot of that where, come on down. They don't say, come on down, call before you come in, ring the whatever, ask for Manny. Just come on down. This chick clearly got the come on down mandate and then went to the building and had no idea how to get in. And security guards aren't present all the time, as we know, and not around, and oftentimes confused. I have them do that thing all the time where it's like, Corolla. No, name's not on the list. Well, I'm looking at it upside down from where I'm standing, so it's right in the middle there. I don't. What's your plan? I'm just going to go home?
Sir, please let me do my job.
It would be nice. So she was standing there, and I swiped my key card, and I let her in, and I said, who are you looking for? And she said, I'm going to K-Earth. I'm an intern at K-Earth. And I thought, all right, well, I know this is against policy, but I haven't heard it. So I'm just going to wipe my key card again and let you into the thing, and you can go into the K-Earth side of the building. And then I realized what a nice thing profiling is. You see?
You took one look at her.
I took one look at her. She was an attractive 17-year-old girl, maybe 18. Her posture was such a way that she looked sort of confused. She had been there before I got there. She didn't seem to have much rhyme or reason. She wasn't smoking and saying, that's the ticket. She was just standing there. She had a big purse. The way she was dressed, her posture, the way she did her hair. Skin color, yes, many things come into factor. They all do. I admit it. That's the way it goes. That's what you do. You take everything and you factor it all in. And if it's a young Asian girl or a young black girl, you're going to let her in more than a white guy with prison tattoos on his neck who's bigger than you are and has the sleeves cut off his denim jacket. I mean, that's what you do. You profile. I looked at her. I said she poses zero threat to anyone in this building, and she's in. We should all be able to do that because I don't want to live in a society where I'm like, sorry, Missy, I know you're interning over K-Rock or over K-Earth. I know it'd be nice for you to just walk in right now. As a matter of fact, you're going to be late in 2 minutes if you don't, but I can't let you in this building. There's a lot of that that goes on. That is the byproduct of us trying to be politically correct. That's a byproduct of us when judgment is taken away. When you're not allowed to use your own instincts and your own judgment, when a guy who's working at a border or working at an airport is not allowed to go, I got a really bad feeling about this dude and pull him out of line, then we're effed as a society.
Yes.
And now we're living in a society where everyone needs a key card, everyone's got to wait in line, everyone's got to fill out something in triplicate, everyone, everywhere, all the time. You know, go down to the front of the building, you're in the wrong place, walk it around, talk to the confused security guard, spend 10 minutes in the lobby, and maybe I'll see you up here in half an hour or so. That's the society we will create with that. What's wrong with profiling?
I'm more liberal than you are in many regards, I suppose. I'm all for the profiling.
Thank you.
Here's the one question I have for you, though. A hypothetical. The attractive young girl standing by the door waiting to get in, as is a 47-year-old tatted-up white guy. Do you say, girly, you're okay, you, bub, you're going to have to wait?
Well, I would rather somebody be killed in the K-R side of the building than an uncomfortable confrontation with the guy.
Sure.
Not even a physical one, just an uncomfortable one. Geez, I'm sorry. Hey, buddy, I'm running late. It'd really help me out if you. I couldn't. I'd let him in and just see if he killed everyone over there and then came after us. Yes, that's the sad part. Once in a while, there is a tatted up big guy with the sleeves cut off who is an intern over K-Earth and should get in. But I would also say many times that guy brought it on himself. Perhaps the skull and crossbones on the neck weren't a great decision when you went to the tattoo parlor, and now you're being judged for it. And people say, oh, yes, but what about skin color? That people don't have a choice with that, or your ethnicity or your gender. Yes, sometimes you get sucked into a bad one. If you're a young Muslim man, you get sucked in because your group or group that you look like is doing this. That can't be helped. Sorry. Best way to stop that is to get your group to quit blowing people up. It's the best way to do this. If you're a young black man, see if we can't get a disproportionately high number of your members out of prison. That'll help. That'll help your cause, because that's how people work. As racist as you want to make everybody, there's rhymes to everyone's reasons. Believe me, they're racist. Why not just be racist against young Asian men? What about young men fill in the blank? Do you know what I'm saying? Also, whatever color you are, whatever your gender is, you can certainly help your case. I mean, Jerron is a black guy, but Jerron doesn't have crazy tats and a do-rag and a gold tooth. It's not like anyone's going to get in Jerron's grill, stop him from going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's been pulled over, et cetera.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. I've been pulled over, and I've gotten, you know, millions of chicken-ass tickets for nothing and pulled over for nothing, and then had things that seemed, if I were anything other than white, I would have thought, oh, this is racism. Treated rudely, told to stand, you know, back of the line, not whatever. I mean, we all have, if you think about it. I mean, you go to the DMV, go to the Department of Building and Safety and have some guy give you the stink eye and go, hey, sir, take a number. Now, if you were, and you go, yeah, I just had some quick, sir, take a number and stand over there, please, until it's called. I just had a quick question. Please, sir. Mm-hmm. We've all had that happen millions of times. We've all been pulled over by cop and thought to ourselves, what the F? I got a jaywalking ticket in Burbank. I crossed at the crosswalk before the signal was red. He said, I'm writing you a ticket. I said, I didn't even do anything. I'm writing you a ticket. If I was black, I probably would have went, wow, he hates the black man. If I was Muslim, I would have said, oh, okay, I see. I see the little payback for 9/11.
But it doesn't invalidate your overall point. But, you know, once in Chicago, I was driving around the Wrigleyville area looking for a place to park. It was probably 11, 12 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, a car came driving up behind me 100 miles an hour, pulled in front of me. I was terrified. Two cops jumped out with guns pointed at me, undercover cops, and pulled me out of my car at gunpoint. And they said, what were you doing in this area? Apparently, a black guy driving a white car, I was driving a white car at the time, had just locked a woman in the trunk of her car. Mm-hmm. So if this happens to you regularly, you know, it happens, you know, more than once in your life, you're a black man who gets pulled out of a car because you're black, it's petrifying. You would rail against the system. It's irrational. Yeah. I agree with you. But it is horrifying when you get guns pointed at you and stuff like that.
I think it's your instinct. I would love to have a rhyme or reason when all the guys that are making $9 an hour out there yell at me, California, says, no, I beat myself out there. You pull into a parking lot here in Southern California. There's a parking space 10 feet in front of your car, and the guy says, $10. And you're like, okay, I'm sitting on my wallet. Let me get $10. All right, I'm wearing a suit, and I'm sitting on the suit, and underneath the suit is my wallet. Let me park the car, and I'll give you the keys. I'll give you the wallet. $10. Let me get out of the car. No, I need it now, sir. What do you think I'm going to do, abandon my car and run for the hills laughing? Let me get out of my car. No, $10. Now, if I was black, and this has happened to me many times, told the guy to F off, and I drove across the street to the other parking lot. It's the greatest day of my life. I said, F you, I'm going to park. And he goes, I'm just driving across the street. I'm going to park right over there. I'll give him my $10. And he goes, all right. And I parked my car. And anyway, the point is if I were black, I would have went, this guy doesn't trust me. This guy doesn't think I can. This guy. Everybody in Southern California, at least, treats almost everyone else rudely. Go to a gas station. Go park your car. Go do anything that has to do with automobiles, whether it be meter maids, whether it be the parking lot over at LAX or the parking lot across the street or the gas station, whatever. These people treat everyone rudely, everyone horribly, and try to rip everyone off. If I was black, I'd think these guys hate black people. No?
Yes. They hate all
people. Yes. And I understand that feeling. If I was Jerron, I'd be like, okay, this guy's racist. He doesn't trust me to get out of my car and give him the $10. No, I'm white. Does the same to Whitey. Maybe he is racist. I'm just saying that kind of rudeness is universal.
Yes.
All right, we need to take a break. I'm looking at my body mass index chart over here because we're decided this is officially a Fat Friday. This thing really needs to be adjusted because I'm looking at what a male 5'10 should weigh.
Yeah.
I think Big Tad goes about 5'11, maybe 5'10, 5'11. Brusket, what are you coming in at, Dave?
Close to 190.
Yeah, but what are you coming in the height department?
5'7.5.
5'7.5? Sorry, that makes you 5'7. There's no halves in this. All right, listen, here's the point.
A midget.
For 5'7, small frame, 138 to 145.
For a man?
What are you laughing about?
Well,
Chubby?
I don't know if you want to call Brusca the man.
Twins left ass cheek was.
I agree with you on this one, T. The chart.
Oh, yes.
The chart. Yeah, okay. Because you say, what kind of man gets his pregnant wife up to make paninis in the morning? Yeah, I agree. 142 to 154 is the medium frame for 5'7", and 149 to 168. So
not
you're
close.
And let me check the chart here. Morbidly obese. It turns out you're deceased. You're actually dead. There's two X's where your eyes were on the chart. That's how you know you're dead in the movie.
He had a massive coronary about 3 years ago.
By the way, as far as cartoon illustrators goes, dead and drunk are the same eyes. Sad, isn't it? You guys, don't you have more range than that? You don't have a drunk eye and a dead eye, just the X? That's both. But, yeah, like Big Tad's probably 5'10", 5'11". His Big Bone, we'll say he's a large frame, at 5'10", 158 to 180. I really think this needs to be adjusted because large frame, I don't know a guy, you know, I know tons of guys that are 5'10", 5'11". They all go 185 or 190, and those are the ones that are in shape. That is off of this chart. That's past the Big Bone in this department.
Yes, well, the BMI is controversial. A lot of people don't think it's a good index. But if you feel like figuring yours out, you take your weight and you divide it by your height times your height. In other words, the inches you are times the inches you are. Mm-hmm. And you'll come up with a number. 25 is optimal. I think 18 to 25 is good. And around 40 is morbidly obese.
Well, so sad. I think this thing was made in the 30s or something.
It's retro.
They adjust these things? And who are they talking to? Because they haven't been speaking to Samoans. Because they would kick their ass. You try to tell some 5'11 nose guard over at SC that he's 250 pounds overweight. All right, we need to take a break. I want to talk, continue our fat discussion. How about some, I'll give you two topics here at 866-901-ADAM. Guys that are into big girls or girls that are into big guys or just people that are into big. I have a gay buddy who's big, and he's the toast of the gay town.
Really? He's like a teddy bear guy.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. If you're gay, you just fit into a category. Oh, you washboard abs are nice, but if you're not going to make it over there, go into the bear department over here. Now you just eat to your heart's content and don't even worry about waxing your back. You're just fine because you're in this category. And there's a certain percentage of guys that are in this category, and they don't look like you, which is the good news. You don't want some other fat, hairy guy coming at you. But there's the guys with the washboard abs that are into the bears, and so you're just fine. Just make sure you hit the right bar.
Exactly.
So what are you into? Big girls, big guys? I will also accept some good how fat jokes. Probably based on our Lisa Lampanelli roast run-in yesterday with Patton Oswalt. But I still love a good fat joke. I think we all do. And it's really the last, you know, you can't do Pollock jokes anymore. Let's face it. But we can still do fat jokes. And we're going to hear them next at 866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I have a great relationship with my stepfather.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It is officially Fat Friday. Big Tad going to be coming in here talking about his rib-eating contest in Reno. Kobayashi, the great Japanese hot dog-eating champion, will be on the phone. We have the 800-pound woman who is calling in. She had a little situation. Peggy Johnson, her husband, was having sex with her daughter, stepdaughter, for him but not for her, in front of her because she was in her own filth and could not be moved. It is a sad story, a very sad tale. We'll talk to her about that. We'll play a round of which weighs more, various large items or Big Tad. Perez Hilton is calling in. But that'll be an 8 o'clock hour for a little VMA, MTV Music Award roundup. We're talking fat, and I have some fat stories. And then I realize, well, you guys have some fat stories, the listeners. And then I realize our own Brian, the sound effects man, when I first met Brian was a very big man.
Brian was kind of a heavier guy back then.
What were you at your most?
I'm exactly 6 feet tall at the time we met and I started working at Loveline in 2003. I was about 200, my heaviest about 228 pounds. Actually, mm-hmm. It was exactly 228 pounds.
Yeah, and you're not a big boned guy.
Medium frame.
Medium frame. So you should be walking around about 170.
Exactly right what I am now. Yeah, 171.
So you had an extra 60 pounds or close to it.
Close to it. 55 pounds what I lost, yeah.
Yeah, I'm jealous. And people put weight on in different ways, and I'm very jealous of that. I put it all on in my head. So that the very first time I take a picture with a sweater and my arm around a couple guys next to me, it just looks like one huge head in between two smaller heads with the big furry arms.
You ever been fat? Because you're like the long and lean build that doesn't get fat.
Well, I was in... it's one of the greatest stories of my life. When I played football in high school, all I did was eat eggs, hard-boiled eggs. That's the only thing I could figure out to eat. But there wasn't a lot of cooking going on at the Corolla house, and I didn't really know how to cook, and I didn't have much time. But I knew I saw Rocky eat them eggs.
Right.
I used to eat like 6 or 8 hard-boiled eggs a day, and then all I would do is lift weights. That's all I would do. And I became like a big melon head. Like I just became big and bulky. It's funny, I didn't weigh that. I weighed about 210, 215 in my prime, but I probably was more like 175. I just inflated myself artificially eating eggs and pumping iron in high school when I was playing football. Ended up looking like one of those thick-looking sort of college guards, you know, like you see when they do the college roundup. Not technically fat, but the guy sort of looked fat, but you go call him fat. I'm scared he'll kick my ass like one of those guys. You go tell him he's fat because there's fat and then there's fat. When Brian was fat, hey, lard ass, give me a cup of coffee before I open a can of whoop ass on your fat ass. Yeah. But then there's dudes that are fat. Even Big Tad falls in this category. Yeah, it's all well and good, but you go call him fat ass, you who doesn't know him, because he could turn that girth on your ass. So I was kind of that way. I was kind of like, yeah, technically looked a little fat when I put a jacket on, but it was from lifting weights and whatever. One of the greatest conversations I ever had, and if anyone wants to know how the Corollas roll, this is how the Corollas roll. We were, stop me if I've told this recently, but we were eating dinner at my mom's house with some out-of-town friends of my stepdad's.
You've never told this. You've never told a story that has anything to do with your family eating a meal in your own home.
Oh, okay. Well, this is...
How would I know that?
We're over at my mom's house. We're eating. We're sitting around. We're drinking a little wine. The meal is finishing up. And my grandmother, who's the nastiest of them all, brings up, says horrible things to her own family. Well, I could say this. Whereas the rest of the Corollas you wouldn't call fans, you know what I mean? Hence the famous proclamation from my mom a few years ago. Give me one good reason why I should get cable when I had 2 shows on cable. That's the way they roll. That's the way they roll. They've come around a little bit, but they're more passive about it. They're naive. Give me one good reason why I should get cable. That was not meant as a poke in the ribs. The Ace Man, she legitimately wanted one good reason. Thank goodness the rest of the family couldn't come up with one.
How should I know?
That's the way they roll. But my grandmother is actually sort of overt about it. You know, she will get in and jab and make fun of, and just because you're this doesn't make you that, and you think you're hot stuff because you're on TV kind of stuff. She was explaining to this group at the table, she said to this group, she said, we were talking about old pictures, old days, and she said, well, I have some old pictures of Adam. He was not very becoming. You know, that was her. And she said, sweetie, you've lost weight from these old pics. These pictures were taken like when you're a senior in high school. He was big and bursting out of his clothes, as she described me. He wasn't very aesthetically pleasing. I mean, she was saying to the table, when Adam was a senior in high school, he was big, he was bursting out of his clothes, and now that he shed the weight, he looks much better. And I sat there and they kicked it around for a while, and eventually I raised my hand and I said, you too, you out-of-town guests, I know what you think. you're picturing a guy who had a thyroid problem in high school and since got it under control. Yeah, you're picturing a guy with a wind-up beanie crying, you know, with stretch marks on him, all pink, being beaten on by the jocks or something. I was an all-Valley football player. That's why I was a big guy. I know no one at this table will ever bring that up. My mom's just sitting there. My stepdad's just...
Because that's news to them, too. I think it was.
No one said, well, hold on. The reason he was big is he was lifting weights. I know when the grandmother says he was bursting out of his clothes, he was unbecoming, and he was big, then you're just doing the math. Well, she's being as kind as she can be. He's sitting right here. This guy must have been a mess. He must have been like one of the twins on the scooter. From the Guinness Book record.
That.
Like
a
picture me with overalls on because I couldn't wear other clothing. I'd eat myself out of the Husky section at Sears and coveralls would all... Like, you're not picturing a guy who was the captain of the football team, I don't think, when football's never brought up, weights are never brought up, muscle, nothing is ever brought up. You just keep focusing on the size. So eventually, I raised my hand and chimed in. Then an argument started, much to the chagrin of our guests, because me and Granny went at it. She wouldn't let it go. She was like, you didn't look good. I was like, I'm not saying I didn't look good. I'm saying when you say this in front of people, they think fat kid. They don't think jock. They think fat kid. I don't, you know, I'm just saying, I'm entitled to my opinion. I didn't think you look, I think you look great now. She wouldn't let the look good part go. And it turned into quite a melee over at the Corolla house. Very, very uncomfortable. But that's my fat grandma story.
Is it possible that generation was more fixated on weight than the latter ones?
Yes.
Because my grandmother on my father's side used to always introduce me to her friends and my cousin Mitchell, whichever one of us was there. She'd be like, this is Dave. He's a little heavy right now. She used to say that to people. She once, we were in a diner. And we finished our dinner, and then the heavy set waitress came over and she said, would you like some dessert? We have wonderful pies here. And my grandmother said to her, looks like you've been enjoying too much of that pie lately. What? That's a stranger. You can't say that to people.
I think there's a weird thing where you're more free to talk about people's weight and then their ethnicity as well. That's another weird one that they can't. Oh, he's a kindly old black gentleman. You know, they're always working that kind of stuff in. I think we've learned to cool our jets a little in both departments. David? You have a comment? Question?
I'm a big fan, Adam. I think you're great.
Thank you, David.
I more than doubled my weight in a 5-year period.
Wow. Well, if you started off at 86 pounds and you're now 6'1", you should be just about right. How tall are you? Let me look you up on my weight chart.
I'm 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm. And how much do you weigh? If you're big boned, it's 6'3". If you're big boned, 176 to 202.
Okay, yeah, that was a long time
ago. So, Bruska, if you were standing on an apple crate, you'd be just about right.
Are you in the 400s?
I went from 180 to 380.
Wow. It's pretty easy to do in today's age of 24-hour open drive-ins and 99-cent chili burgers. You know what I mean? Actually, I think it was a Dairy Queen commercial last night. I can't remember what chain it was. They have a burger where they said it's two quarter pound slices of meat, chili in between the meat, and then on top, and then on the bottom, and then they did this one, and two slices of real American cheese. Let me explain something to the Dairy Queen people. There's nothing real about it. We made that cheese up. It's made up in the lab. A polymer chemist came up with that. They then called it American cheese. It's oxymoronic to say real American cheese. But point is, I was looking at this thing, and it looked like a heart attack in a bun. It was, you know, 500,000 calories. It's one thing. And I'm sure it was $1.29. The minimum wage is being raised up to like $9. Burgers are still 89 cents. You do the fat math.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Well, the worst one is the burger with the pastrami on it. I like those two things separately, but it's nauseating to look at together.
David?
Yeah.
How are we going to shed this weight? How are we going to get the weight off you, buddy?
Well, I'm not even concerned about it.
Oh,
I mean, my appetite went out the roof, and uh, I
I spend about $250 on groceries like every 10 days or so, but I don't eat a lot of junk food.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing something wrong because you've doubled your weight in 5 years, right?
Well, I've also grown, though. I mean, I grew about 3 or 4 inches, and my shoe size went from a 12 to a 16, 6E.
But here's the problem, David. At 380 pounds or whatever you're coming in at, you would have to grow to 8'3" in order to stretch that out. So it sounds like you're justifying your weight. That's fine. I've talked to, you know, when I used to do Loveline, I talked to women all day long, and it'd be like, my boyfriend won't have sex with me anymore. Well, what's the problem? Nothing. Well, did you put on some weight? I got a couple extra pounds. I mean, I'm not a big girl. How tall are you? 5'3". How much did she go? Well, about 200. Okay, that's heavy. That's the other thing, too. It's a weird thing. Half the population is obsessed with their weight. You know, Nicole Richie's coming in at 91 pounds, looks in the mirror and sees Big Tad. Wait a minute, that is Big Tad. That's no mirror. He's broken into her apartment. Point is she looks in the mirror, she's 91 pounds. She looks in the mirror, she sees a fat woman. There are more, I'll tell you, a more dangerous syndrome. Fat chicks who look in the mirror and see Nicole Richie.
Yes.
There's a lot of that going
around.
Reverse
anorexia.
Oh, I talked to half of them is obsessed with their weight and vomiting all the time. The other half is literally 200 pounds. And they're 5'3", 5'4", and it's like, yeah, I got a little extra cleavage. I haven't heard any complaints from my man. Look, taking a good look at yourself, and then wearing the fashions that Nicole Richie wears. David, you're 360 or 80 pounds. You've doubled your weight in the last 5 years. I'm going to do some quick math here. If you double your weight in another 5 years, then in 2011, you're going to be 760 pounds. And then another 5 years from now, you'll be 1,580 pounds. It's just going to keep going. Eventually, and this is only in about 15 years, you'll weigh more than the planet you're on. All right, buddy. Glad you can be jovial about it.
All right, take care.
Hey, you want something? Yeah. You like boxing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you'd really enjoy some Hooters wings more.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
shouldn't enable him with the wings.
I'm going to give you a couple. I'd like to see you get up and get out. I'm going to give you a couple tickets to the James Lights Out Tony Sam, the Nigerian Nightmare Peter. Peter, legitimate heavyweight, and of course, James Lights Out Tony. Tomorrow night at Staples Center.
Way cool, Adam, way cool.
Yeah.
You better give him 4 tickets. His ass sounds like it's going to take up at least 3.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you have a lady friend to take with you?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Shocker. Well, I'll call ahead and get him to do I'll call ahead to the Staples Center and get him to do the add a leaf to the chair. Like when the family comes over for Thanksgiving and you take the dinner table and you add that 3-foot section in the middle. All right, so put him on hold. Let's talk to, someone has a better body mass index chart. Patrick?
Uh-huh.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Adam.
Hey.
I love your show. Long-time fan.
Thanks, buddy.
My idea was when I spent 5 years in the Army, and the way the Army tells somebody's body fat is by taking the measurement of their neck, the measurement of their weight, their actual weight, and their height, and computing it all together to come out with their actual body fat. Mm-hmm. Because, like you were saying, you were eating eggs in high school to gain weight, and I did the same thing in high school and while I was in the Army just to get muscle. And the Army, by just the body mass index, would have considered me obesely fat, but by actually measuring a person's body fat, I was nowhere even near what they would consider obese.
Yeah, well, the thing is everyone has a weight that looks best on their frame. It's not for some bean counter up in I was going to say Battle Creek, Michigan, but let's make it Washington. It's not for some bean counter to figure out what looks best on you. You'll know. I mean, everyone's usually riding 8 or 10 pounds over what they would look their best in. But there are guys who come in here that are 225 pounds that look just fine. And then there are guys who, when they get 10 pounds over their normal weight, look like hell. I mean, there are guys that are 6 foot and 220 and look great. And there are guys that are 6 foot and 180 and look like hell. You have to figure it out.
Well, as we've discussed, Carol, I know you have the same thing, that what I call the Travolta syndrome, which is certain people like myself, as soon as you gain weight, Ted Kennedy has the same thing. The first 15 pounds, all in the
all
head.
All the greats.
Yes.
Travolta,
they have that
Ted
in common.
Kennedy, Damashek, and Carolla. Yes, it is a blessing in disguise because all we are is one fat holiday picture, one big fat cabeza picture away from going, oh my God, this looks horrible. I'm going on a diet. We can never, David and I can never get past 10 pounds over where we should be because our head will have 9 of those pounds. The photos will be embarrassing and we just can't do it.
Well, just to correct you, I actually, it turns out I am able to exceed 10 pounds overweight.
I was being kind. That's what I say. I am thoroughly convinced this is what happened to Kirstie Alley and the other chick from Heart, which is once you put on, if your head does not put on weight, and we all know these a-holes, I'm secretly jealous of them. I have friends. My buddy Chris is this way. He bulks up. He gets to 220 pounds. His arms get bigger, and his head stays the same size. There's people who have heads that are sort of like your toes or your nostrils or something. It's like they're just incapable of putting weight in or on that part of their body. Their head just doesn't put weight on. Kirstie Alley's head would not put on weight. Kirstie Alley, when she was on Cheers, was 125, 130 pounds, looked fantastic. She got up to 200 pounds and then kept going, by the way. But when she was at 200 pounds, her head looked the same. She would then wear big billowy, drapey, scarfy. You know, when you start dressing like Stevie Nicks,
there's trouble.
That means you're putting a little weight on in the ass department. But from the head up, so what would she do? She would put on big billowy flowing whatever with the burka stuff. And then she would go on a talk show and she would see herself sitting next to Letterman. Didn't look too bad. Just like if you put yourself in a suit. Like, Dave, if your belly and your ass and everything got fat, but your head was exactly the same, then you put yourself in a suit and you go see yourself next to Letterman on TV, and no problemo, right? That's what happened to her, and so she just kept going. Now, eventually, she hit a wall about 230 or 240.
She's probably in like a hotel room and closed the door that has the mirror on the back, so she caught what she looks like, her backside looks like, and just thought, sweet Jesus,
right.
What's
well,
happened?
Well, it's a good stopgap then. That
it
if
is.
You know.
If Kirstie Alley's head would have started ballooning with her ass, she would have stopped at 152 pounds.
Adam, we're blessed.
We certainly are. I am going to go home, and I'm going to kiss both my parents for those god-awful jeans they gave me that enables my head to blow up like a crock pot when I put on 6 pounds.
Hey, it happens to Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
Yes, he's another one who has the syndrome.
All
yes.
The greats. All yes. The greats.
Maybe I should update it, the Vaughn syndrome, just to, so it's recognizes with the kids.
Yeah.
What did you used to call it?
Travolta syndrome.
Oh, yes.
Syndrome.
I think the Vince Vaughn is...
Yes.
And also, one of the friends has that, where his head bloats up.
I think Matthew
yes.
Perry may have that. Yeah. And also, the Travolta syndrome carries some sexual baggage that I don't think... That's unintended. You know what I mean? Just stick with Vaughn. Too confusing. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be doing the news. T, what do we got in the news, baby doll?
Well, we've been talking about being overweight, but a little kid in Nepal is undersized. He may be the shortest boy alive, and I'll tell you more about that. Also, how many times a week must Madonna's husband have sex with her, and how many times must she cook for him? All that and more.
Right after this on The Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, kids? Time to ring the bell. School's in with Professor Silver. We got a hell of a show for you today. Fat Tad recaps the rib-eating contest in Reno. World-eating champion Kobayashi and Hollywood gossip queen Perez Hilton. That's it? A fruitcake, a fat man, and a guy who doesn't speak English? Oh, we got the bitch bag. Great, guess who's going in? Booker Mike August. If you need me, I'll be in my office updating my MySpace page. MySpace.com/silverisgold.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, good stuff, Jack Silver. Well, yeah, we were going to have Don King in here, but Bruska jinxed it by saying good booking out loud. We all thought it, but we knew, just like you don't say the Candyman's name 3 times into the mirror. You don't yell good booking, because that puts the kibosh on whoever's coming into this studio. So Don King, the good news is when you drop out last minute, you're then under much pressure to come back again to the thing you didn't want to come to in the first place. We all have done that. We all do that thing. I can't make this Friday, but I will definitely be there. And then you realize, why the F did I agree to the following one just to cancel this time? But anyway, we'll get Don King in here in person soon. But who cares? We got an 800-pound woman calling in whose daughter and husband were having sex in front of her while she lay in her own filth.
And perhaps more egregiously, they were taking the good French fries for themselves while throwing the bad ones right at her.
Well, that's when they crossed the line in the Ace Man's book. I'm an atheist. I don't judge. But when you start throwing the guy the little pinky nail fries and you eat the good juicy ones yourself, well. And let me give you guys a fry eating tip very quickly. Get a little tangy barbecue sauce. Ketchup, nice. But a little barbecue sauce for dipping. You know, some people do that. I like to dip it into Thousand Island. Or I like to dip it into whatever. I find they're all a little bit strong on their own. But a little bit of barbecue sauce in with the ketchup, too, gives a nice little twang and a little tang. A little something zippier than just the tomato sauce.
It's delicious.
Sauce.
However, I obviously happen to be the expert in this area. But the blue cheese. Try it on your
fries. The dressing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Blue cheese dressing.
Well, the thing about the blue cheese dressing is there's no doubt it would be good on anything.
Yes.
So it will be. It's high in calories, high in fat, but it's definitely going to be good on anything
it
lands on.
No coincidence it's been condiment of the year more than once.
People are still buzzing. T?
Yes.
What's going on in the news?
Well, President Bush said yesterday in a speech in Salt Lake City, he was talking to the American Legion convention. He spoke out against the war and Islamic militants. And he said fighting militants was like fighting the Nazis and communists, and that a U.S. withdrawal from Iraq would lead to America's downfall.
If we give up the fight in the streets of Baghdad, we will face the terrorists in the streets of our own cities. We can decide to stop fighting the terrorists in Iraq and other parts of the world, but they will not decide to stop fighting us.
Strategery.
Yeah, you know what's pathetic about our current political system and why it needs to be overhauled? Just about the time the guy could get back to work, because you're constantly... The way the system is set up, it's like how they paint the Golden Gate Bridge. By the time they get to one end, well, it's time for repainting, they just turn around, get out the weenie roller, and start heading the other direction again. It never ends. That's the whole thing. You get elected. Once you get elected, well, it's time to start raising money and doing work toward your next election. And then, when you can't be elected anymore, what do you do? Well, there's elections coming up for Republicans, so I'm just going to start stumping for them. Please, you have a year and a half left on the contract. How about you stay in the White House, pull up your pants, and get some work done?
Well, you're right. That's exactly what he's doing. He has a few speeches planned. The next one's going to be on Tuesday.
Not even for him anymore. Listen, you're going to spend the next 25 years playing golf and on the Toastmaster circuit. Tell everyone to kiss your ass.
Well, 33% of Americans approve of Bush's handling of the war, which is low. I think he's trying to increase that before the next election. Meanwhile, in Nepal, the world's shortest boy, at least his family thinks he is waiting for word from the Guinness Book of World Records where he's applied. The boy is 14, he weighs 10 pounds, and he's 20 inches tall.
Nepaling, as I like to say. I hope he is the world's shortest boy, because the world's shortest boy, that you can make a living on, and the world's second shortest boy just becomes the world's shortest bus boy. That's the way it works. You have to get a gig.
Well, apparently there's a kid who's 25 inches tall, so they're trying to unseat that kid.
Yeah, he's known as Stretch to that Nepal family.
Well, there are a couple hurricanes, as you know. Hurricanes.
Hey, pick us some fruit, would you, Stretch? Because we got a real midget over here.
Almost half a foot taller.
What'd you do? You got a basketball scholarship? You're paying your way through college. It's good stuff.
It's good.
Hey, listen, the satellite dish up on the roof isn't facing true south. Could you get up there and adjust it? No ladder for you. Do it from the driveway.
Okay, couple hurricanes.
Yeah, I got some shoes up in the top shelf of the closet. Could you get that, Stretch? Use all that 25 inches of yours to go grab that? Thank you.
Like I said, there are a couple hurricanes. But yes. You know what? Why don't you watch the Weather Channel, because I don't have time to get to it.
Oh, my but to be honest, we've all had an ass full of weather, right?
Let's talk about news. Now, the CBS network is just about to have Katie Couric. I believe she starts September 5th on their CBS Evening News. Now, it is Fat Friday, as you said, and there was a lot of talk early in the week because Katie Couric's promotional photo was airbrushed to take about 20 pounds off of her. Meanwhile, last night she went on the show to say goodbye to Bob Schieffer, who's been hosting here. She is in her first appearance on CBS.
Hey, Bob. You know, I can't imagine following in the footsteps of a kinder, more gracious person. So thank you so much for everything. Of course, you'll continue to play a very important role in this broadcast. And before you head back to Washington, though, we want to take a look back because you've had quite a ride.
So they took a look back, and Bob Schieffer got a little emotional.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I'm the product of
here come the waterworks.
And many people. I don't buy into this self-made man business. Mm-mm. You know, from Ma.
Who would cry on the air?
Wife.
That is so...
I really learned from him.
When old guys cry, it's sad. How long is it, unless they're veterans?
And made me what I,
then it's
what
funny.
I got to be.
Yeah, then it's acceptable.
Well, they were in a war, and they saw life and death, and their buddies died.
How long has he been in that chair?
Well, he was filling in, I think, for 18 months or something, but he's been in the news business a long time.
All right, but the chair's, you know, still cool from the last guy that was in there. Please, move
he's
along,
great.
Old man.
No, he's great, though. I'm very sad to see him go. He's hysterical.
He'll
on
still
a
be,
basis.
I think, he'll still be doing a weekend show, so that we haven't seen the last of him. British tabloids are saying that Madonna is trying to spice up her marriage with a sex schedule. A friend of hers telling the British tabloids that Madonna and Guy Ritchie have sex scheduled 3 times per week. Madonna has requested, quote, M time every week during which she can talk about her career and he will offer advice. In addition, Guy must cut down on PlayStation and pub time, whilst Madonna will have to cook for Guy once a month. I don't know if 3 times a week is a standard good married amount of sex.
I think it's a little above the norm. Also, she's getting a little long in the tooth, you know. I could see Guy, you know, it's got probably about, I mean, Monday and Wednesday I could see it pulling it off, but come Friday it might feel like a chore. Honey, pop in the, put the Papa Don't Preach video in. Let's see if I can't draw a little wood here. Shh, quiet. Okay, good. All right, start. All right, I'm done. Well, there you go. Start cooking.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, the one thing with Madonna, and I don't know how you broach it, and I don't know how you do this with any woman that was formerly beautiful and desirable, and nothing wrong with Madonna today, but let's face it, we'd rather bang the 29-year-old Madonna than the 48-year-old Madonna, and it goes down the line with all the women. I don't know how you broach that, put in the old movie, put in the old tape, let's put on the old album. I suppose if you did it in such a way, it would seem like an homage and it would be cool. And that could definitely help your cause. I mean, if you were with, and that's an interesting question to Dave, there are a lot of folks you might not want to be with these days because, well, they're well past their prime. But what if you could put on the old TV show? It's you and Charlene Tilton, and maybe she's a little long in the tooth. Maybe she's put on a little weight, but put on an old episode of Dallas.
That's an interesting thing. And
she's
you
in
have,
her bikini.
I love your whole, the thing of that you pass somebody in the rankings of physical appeal that at one point Charlene Tilton would never have had Adam Carolla. But as she descends, she plummets in physical appeal. And you rise a little bit.
You now, intersect at one magic
cross.
Moment.
Yes, we will work this out.
Yes, it you is can, a difficult formula to figure out, but we do
I
have am, to
you can
analyze.
IMDb her, by the way. She was just a blonde from the 80s from Dallas who was cute when you were 14 and she was 23 and on Dallas. But at a certain point, you cross, even if you're a garbage man, certain point, you will cross Liz Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
The most beautiful woman in the world. You're collecting garbage, but you got a six-pack ab, and she's 71 and strung out on meds and has a lap dog in between you two. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about Madonna, and if you watched the MTV VMAs last night, she was nominated for a bunch of stuff, and she looks amazing in that video. She's in a leotard, and she's dancing around. Anyway, we are going to talk about the VMAs more, so I'm not going to get into that here. And Adam, you say you have a good story about a magic moment. I'll look forward to that. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Dave.
I have to be honest, I feel a little hurt.
Why?
Not one of you has asked me about how my fantasy football draft went. It's a very important
fairy
thing
tale
for me, and no one's asked me word one. How did your team turn out, Dave? How are the cool cats looking for 2006?
That was Nerdfest 06. Who else was there? Where were you? Was it this the guys I know?
This is the Cats East Club. Yeah, this is the with all the Hog and those guys from
I see. And then the Cats
Indiana.
West, have they had their draft yet?
No, that's next Tuesday night.
The greatest is when we're over at Kimmel's house 2 months from now. And what's up with Elliot? He's not talking to Dave or Hinch. Whoa, there's some bad blood in the fantasy football world. A draft went way beyond. Went well. He says he sent the email at 11:59 Eastern time, but it did not come on to Dave's docket until after 12. And rules are rules, and now there's bad blood between the two nerds on each side of the sofa that I'm sitting in between.
Is that worse than the bitch bag?
Listen.
Tony is not happy with Dave. What's wrong with Tony? Oh, there's a bad draft going on in the Nerd League. Look out.
Let me just tell you, Dave's not happy with Dave. I'm ashamed of myself for being a part of this. And I'll tell you, it's akin to being a heroin addict. I can't quit it. I'd like to quit it now. I don't like being a part of it, but what am I to do?
At least the guy who's strung out on the H is getting laid. That is the difference between the two addictions.
Cindy said, in year 3 of our marriage, I too shall start to get laid.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
promise to me, yes. Now, college football began last night. As I did my fantasy draft, I watched on the flat screen. I watched some college football.
Yes.
As you can imagine, I was in heaven. Now, down in the Valley of the Sun, Arizona State Devils didn't exactly shine last night, but they did score 3 times in the 4th period to put down Northern Arizona. Sure, it didn't matter to the student body who had to be drunk. I hear that's the best tailgate in the country, and I've been to many great tailgates. We got to do that this fall. Get to Tempe for a good college. The talk has already begun that maybe we'll head out there for a game. Also, Oregon State whipped Eastern Washington. Best thing, though, that I saw last night, South Carolina was playing Mississippi State. They won the game, but their starting QB hurt his ankle, and they had to put in a freshman. Take a listen to his name.
Freshman quarterback Chris Smelly made his first collegiate appearance.
Chris
second
Smelly.
Quarter. Smelly.
Wow.
Deep for Kenny McKinley. McKinley, ridiculous catch.
Chris Smelly.
Wow.
I admire him. Anyone who can become a successful athlete, you know, overcome the barrier of a bad last
I
name.
I would argue
like
that having the name made him have to be tough.
A boy yes. named Smelly.
Forged in metal.
That's
yes.
right. One of the greatest Johnny Cash songs ever.
Butkus, Dick Trickle, Gaylord Perry joins the long club. But
yeah.
last night, even better, in the Toledo, Iowa State game, exciting ending. Listen to this name.
Throwing downfield behind the defense. Touchdown! McPenis.
Diarrhea.
What kind of name?
It's Irish, I think.
Is that what it is?
McPenis.
I don't know. I'm not about that kind. So, also, I have to make mention, U.S. basketball team playing over in Japan in the World Championships. You know, Coach K is coaching the team. Dawn of a new era. They're going to play team ball, so on and so forth. Early this morning, they lost to Greece.
Yeah.
Greece!
I heard that on the way in. And there's some pretty big players on our team from the NBA. Right?
Yeah.
You got
LeBron
Brand.
James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, young players, but all-stars.
And who does Greece have?
A bunch of white fellas.
Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. Should I keep going?
Yes.
This is ridiculous. I get it. Very cute.
Thank
that
you.
That was cute.
I'm listening.
All right.
When
now.
Teresa talks.
I said it I've said this forever.
Greece!
Here's the thing. 1992. All right, now 88 Olympics, our college kids lose, so then we have to have the dream team. We have to show the world who's boss.
Mm-hmm.
So we lay the pipe to the world with
That's
Bird
right.
and Magic
Camp.
And Jordan and everybody else. I said it at the time, and it proved to be true. I said, let's just do it one time, show everybody who's boss, and then forevermore. We just keep sending our college kids, and then if we lose, we have the excuse. Yeah, remember what happened when we broke out the big boys. We whip you all.
Right.
But now they've beaten the big boys. Now we have no. It's the same as your show your penis to your child theory when he's young. One time and that's it.
It's actually going to be on Fox. coming up in the fall. I can't talk about it just yet.
It is, though. It's the
on
same
on that show, you have to choose which one is your father's penis. That's the game.
Show them the junk once
one
when
time
they're about
when
knee
young.
Height. Just chub up a little, and a little baby oil will reflect the light and give an appearance of even large penis. Burned into their psyche. They never get to see it again, but for the rest of their life, oh, my dad hung like a black rhino.
Yes, this would be the world. They would be talking about America as their dad's big penis.
Yeah, you know, it's scary in basketball, but it truly is a team sport. These guys get to play each other where we have a sort of rough assembly of all-stars. These guys are practicing on the same team for years, and it works out because it is the ultimate, in a way, I guess, the ultimate team sport.
Yeah.
Yes, but I don't care. There are no excuses for the U.S. of A., the creators of basketball, to lose to Greece.
Yes.
All right. Now, a couple of housekeeping tips. Very excited to announce the Cincinnati Bungles stole. You know, I have a little something called the jerk list, or mm-hmm. It's got some other names too. But anyway.
That's right.
I am proud to announce the Cincinnati Bengals stole the jerk hotline, and they have that in their stadium for some cockamamie reason. The real jerk hotline is open for business. Ooh, hear me now, Urukai. Call in with your jerk nominees. The phone number, 323-930-7318. Call in with your jerks. And one more thing. Today, later this morning, the bitch bag. Here's my thing. I don't want to be false and put someone in there with no good reason. I have no gripe with anyone on the staff currently. Therefore, my vote is up for bid. Anyone on the staff wants to throw some money my way? Anyone wants to call in? Matter of fact, Kyle, the phone screener, even if the next caller says Dave belongs in the bitch bag, whoever the next caller is, I want them to cast their vote, and that shall be my vote.
Wow,
really?
You're giving your vote to the people.
If it's me, so be it.
Well, the bitch bag is not for another hour or so.
Right.
Maybe an hour and a half.
Okay,
certainly
so maybe
things could happen between now and then. You might want your vote back.
All right, let's do that then.
Yeah.
Okay,
if you give away your bitch bag vote and then Big Tad dumps a pot of hot coffee on your head moments later, you have no bitch gripe.
I see. Well, I still have the jerk list. But anyway, okay, let's wait. 5 minutes before we open the bag, the first caller will set off an alarm, and at that moment, the first caller shall have
but
my
meanwhile,
vote.
Jerks out there, you can call. You have your own personal jerk hotline, and it's probably on our website as well.
323-930-7318. I'm sure it's not on the website.
Put it on right now.
Go to adamcarolla.com, and you'll find that number.
It's
if
an
you
exciting
need
day. How say you, Fish Tank? They're happy too.
All righty.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Peggy Johnson is going to be calling in from Tennessee. Did we do the Definitely Not a Jew with her?
Well, I think that's a given.
Yes.
We got Johnson, we got Tennessee, and we got 800-pound woman. Husband banging the stepdaughter right in front of her. She's in her own filth. She can't move, and there they are. Why? I never thought about that angle. There's the neglect angle. We're not going to help you out. But the part where we're going to have sex with your daughter, right in the front, and this is her actual daughter. It's his stepdaughter.
And to think it happened all on Tu B'Shvat is the worst part.
Still incest in Tennessee, actually. We'll take a quick break. We'll be speaking to her after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Pompano Beach, Florida. An 18-year-old man was arrested on drug charges and arrested again 2 days later for staging a pit bull fight in front of an elementary school. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. Yes, I'd say. Well, speaking of definitely not a Jew, Peggy Johnson is on the phone. Peggy, we spoke about in the news yesterday. She's calling in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Between 500 and 800 pounds. And scales Well, they're going to have to start working on scales because most of them max out at 300, and half the 14-year-olds I see now are exceeding that. So they're going to go have to up that ante, just like they're going to have to enlarge, you know, seats and airplanes and all that for our ever-fattening asses. Mary has, I should say, Peggy has a very sad situation. Her daughter, Mary Alice, who's currently, it says here, living with her husband. This is his stepdaughter. They were having an affair, well, if you want to call it that, and they were actually having sex in front of Peggy, at least according to our story, who couldn't move because of her size. Oh, let's see. Let me put her on. Let's try this. Peggy?
Yes.
Thanks for coming on the show.
You're more than welcome.
Where are you calling from right now, Peggy?
I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And you're calling from home?
Yes.
Now, your husband, how long had you been married?
I was married to him a little over 14 years.
14 years, and you're 53 now.
I'm 52.
52 now, so you met when you were, or you got married when you were 28, no, 38. 38. Okay, and when did this thing start with your daughter, and how old is your daughter right now?
She's 23.
She's 23 now, and how old is Charles?
He's 43.
So he's 20 years older than she is.
Yes.
Now, it says here... This,
no, wait.
Yeah.
33.
He's 33. All right, that's going to help my math, because it says here that he started with your daughter when she was 9.
Yes, I got my kids back when they were very young.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, she had said he had raped her... a few times when she was younger, and we had it checked out, and then she said it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said it again, and he was checked out, and it was sold out because no evidence. But now, since they're together, and they've been together, you know, you quite wonder if it really did happen.
Well, it says here, well, yeah, but my wife and me are together, and I didn't rape her when she was 9.
Right.
She was 11. It was a different time. Talking about the 80s. Totally. People doing coke. AIDS wasn't around.
Who are you to judge, Peggy?
Different time. So it says they're together now. So Charles and Mary Alice are currently living together?
Yes, they're living together up at his... grandmother's house. His dad's trying
Perfect.
To sell it.
Yeah.
And his dad is letting them both live together up at his grandmother's house.
I see. And how are you now? Are you able to stand up and take a bath or use the bathroom or feed yourself?
Yes, I can feed myself and take bath. I am almost 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fell and broke my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I had got put in this bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they started fooling around in front of me and going places. And
now, how would they do that, and why would they do it? Are they doing it just to be cruel, or
yeah.
is you the only room in the house with an air conditioner?
No, they've got two fans in that, and I got central heat and air.
I see.
So your husband and your daughter would have sex in your view?
Well, not in my view for me to watch them, but right there behind me. In their room, but they didn't have no door on their room. They only had a curtain up over the door.
Classic.
And what does a curtain hide?
Peggy, mm-hmm. that must have been horrible for you.
Yes, it was.
And how is it that you got to your current weight? I know you said you hurt your leg.
I gave up because I wasn't being took care of the way I was supposed to be. And
mm-hmm. You were depressed and started eating.
Right. Well, no, I don't eat that much. I don't eat a whole lot, but it's my thyroid that does, you know, bother me a lot.
Well, I'm interested in helping you, but I started thinking about it during the last break. Your daughter was being essentially molested by her stepdad, and that is a crime where you're from, right? I mean, this is
right.
technically incest?
Right.
Were you?
And they are charged with that, yes.
Yes. Were you a victim of sexual abuse yourself?
No, I've never been myself.
Wow, it's almost unimaginable that something horrible like this didn't happen to you growing up in order to create an environment that was fertile to this sort of activity. You were raised by, someone must have been an alcoholic and beating the crap out of you or something.
No, my mother never did drink.
What about your dad?
My dad was never at home. My dad left our home when I was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. And mommy raised you and never a bad stepdad.
My mother never would get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wouldn't have another man over top of her.
Well, what do you think, why have you made all the horrible decisions you've made then? You hooked up with this guy. Obviously, there was another guy who created your kids. He's long gone.
He's passed away.
Ah. What happened to him?
He died.
She sat on him.
Oh, Dave.
What happened to him?
He passed away. No, I didn't sit on him.
What did he die of?
Brian, that's out of line.
Cancer.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Dave. See you in Jew hell. Whatever you guys got. I don't know if it's some barn where you have to pay retail, whatever it is. Now listen, I don't study this hamlet. I'm just saying, whatever it is that you Jews have in the way of hell, I will be seeing you there through a porthole, of course. I'll not be
the
there
French
myself.
Fry thing?
Yes. What happened with the French fries, Peggy? Charles, your husband, would not give you the good ones?
Him and Mary had ate some steak. Mm-hmm. He had fixed steak for him and Mary. And I had asked for something to eat, and he wouldn't fix nothing. And then he finally fixed me some French fries. And I don't have that many teeth left, and he gave me the harder ones.
Mm.
And I threw them down to the daughter.
Gave the hardest one to the daughter, though.
Yeah.
Did he give your daughter the better fries?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
And did you ask for ketchup?
No, I don't. I don't hardly eat it. She does.
Mm. And it says here that you also have a daughter that's mentally handicapped?
No, I don't have no daughter handicapped.
A son?
I've got a son.
Oh, let's see. Yeah. Oh, yes, there it is. You have a son who's mentally handicapped. How old is he?
32.
Ooh. What's going on? Is he living at home as well?
Yes, he is, and I'd rather not speak about him.
I understand. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me just talk to my crew. How bad does something have to be for her not to want to speak about it?
Well, she's talking about her husband raping her 9-year-old daughter. That's okay.
I was talking about the fries. But, yeah, I guess the other thing's fairly egregious, too.
They would put ketchup on her and dip the fries off of her body. This
what?
Is just awful.
Fondant. All right, let's see if we can pull it together.
Right.
Peggy?
Oh. Is this a laugh?
No, there's nothing funny about this.
No, it's not nothing funny about it.
We would like to help you, Peggy. First, you're going to have to lose some weight, right, for your health?
Yes.
And how are you taking care of yourself financially?
I'm on a disability check.
Mm-hmm, because you're unable to move.
She stars in McDonald's commercials as Grimace.
Your son... Please, David... Your son also gets a check as well because he's unable to work. Is that correct?
I'm not worried about my son.
Oh, okay.
Check or anything. My son's check takes care of him.
Okay. So now it's just you and your son living at the house.
No, my other daughter stays here.
Oh, your other daughter. Oh, I think we have her on the phone as well. Let's see. Let me try her. Amber?
Yeah.
So you got her punched up. Amber?
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
How old are you, Amber?
21 today.
21.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I was going to say you could have your first drink today, but...
Good chance that's happened.
I'm guessing you've had a pop in your life before this, right?
No.
Really? Mm-hmm. All right. We'll send you out some Bud Light. So, Amber, you've witnessed all this firsthand?
Yes.
Not all of it,
I haven't.
Mm-hmm. And who's in the background behind you?
My boyfriend.
I see. Doesn't he have an apartment you guys could hang out at? Because for me, if I'm the boyfriend, let's just do it in the driveway, sweetie. You know what I mean?
We don't live over there.
Oh, I see. You live
with
the boyfriend.
No, we got our own place.
Well, what do you think of your stepfather, Charles, and what's gone on with him and your sister?
I think it's gross. I mean, when we was younger, he had done stuff to us. He had done stuff to my niece and nephews. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then he got with my sister.
after he supposedly raped her whenever she was younger. But now I'm just thinking if it was a setup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he did rape her?
No, I don't think so. I think they both have something going on then too.
What part of Australia is your family from?
Australia.
He's joking.
I can hear an accent. It's a gift. So Amber, you're off now. Do you have a child yourself?
No, I would have four, but I miscarried.
Oh, good.
Oh, how old are you, Amber?
21 today.
That's right. I'm sorry.
All right. So Amber, it's important for me, and this is why I'm interested in the family. This is an intervention of sorts. For you, you came from this horribly abusive background. I'm sure the guy sitting to your right's not the world's greatest guy based on the kind of bad decision making you make when you grow up exposed to horrible stepdad. You should work very hard not to get pregnant for quite some time. Are you currently using birth control, Amber?
No, I think I am now.
You think you are?
Yeah.
You think you're pregnant now?
I took a test and it come back saying yeah, so I ain't positive. I'm going to the doctor.
I don't want
to
correct you. I don't want to correct your grammar, but I believe it's come back. I took a test and it come back.
Good, Adam. Very good.
Right.
Thank you. Went to North Hollywood High. I know diction. So you are pregnant?
Yeah.
Well, there goes that speech. It's fantastic. Here's what I'm worried about, Amber, and into a bigger picture. I'm speaking to young Amber now, but I'm really speaking to all of society. This is part of the problem. You grow up around this abuse. You hook up with a guy. You already miscarried once. You're 21. You've not had a drink yet. Today's your birthday. Yet pregnant again. What is your child going to be doing in 18 years, and who are they going to be doing it with, and then what are their kids going to be like? That's what I want to focus on. That is the only issue we have in society. Every other issue is a side issue. Prison, overpopulation, every other unemployment, drugs, people strung out on drugs, crime. It's all a side. This is the hub. Those are all the spokes that come from this one nucleus. This is where it starts. No one wants to address it. We won't. No politician in the world will do it because they're pussies and this is playing God. But this is where it starts. Yes, young Amber's pregnant. We can look forward to many more children. By the way, this will not be
She's not married,
first.
But I hear is that the boyfriend in the background or a kid?
My little nephew, but it's his son.
It's your nephew, but it's also your boyfriend's son?
Uh-huh. Tennessee family tree.
How does that work?
Looks pretty good.
Put your man on the blower, would you please?
But you don't want to talk to me.
Oh, yes, we do. Now, what's your name?
My name is Important.
Adam's on the phone.
Huh?
Your name?
Oh, I know you was.
Unimportant is your name. It sounds French to me. You got Amber pregnant once, but she miscarried.
No, not the first time. The first baby she miscarried was not mine.
Ah, better yet. But now she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's what
perhaps the Lord will smile on all of us, and this one will miscarry as well. But...
Well, buddy, you said the wrong thing to the wrong pope.
Ooh.
You have
to... But now you got the attitude out of me, because I lost my two oldest kids because of my wife and stuff.
You lost
them? It caused chores, you know... I don't hold no punches.
I see.
You know,
I see.
So you want an attitude. I am 100% purebred redneck. I don't give a damn about no
one. Hold on a second. Let me sit down.
What?
I thought you were from the Fauntleroy family.
Blue blood.
Yes, I pictured you in a little Dutch boy outfit.
Well, I am the bad boy.
I understand, but let me ask you this. Can I ask you this, sir?
You can ask me anything you want.
Who is the child that's next to you now?
That's my son. That's my baby boy.
That's your baby boy. So you lost two sons.
Yes, Mom.
But you found this one?
My wife had him after the other two was tucking.
We're tucking?
We're tucking? You mean
taken.
Taken. Wow.
By the state?
Yeah.
For what? We don't know your name. You can tell us.
No, I can't really, you know.
Well, I'm going to go drugs.
No.
No? Abuse?
Well,
I'm not going to go white collar on this one. It's not.
Hey, I know you're on the phone.
Tax evasion.
He was forcing them to play polo against their will.
Mom and Charles.
All right, but here's what
now,
I'm
here's
asking.
The story. You want the story? Yeah. Here's the story. She gave my kids to a mama and Charles.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, stepped in and said that Renee and Rita and Mary and all of them went together and got these facts to believe that Charles and Peggy molested them and everything else.
Ah,
it was never
see a theme
proven.
Starting to arise here?
You know,
yes.
It was never proven, but I lose my kids because of it.
I understand. So
you
were accused of molestation.
No, Charles and Peggy was.
Right.
I was on the run from the state of Georgia.
Charles
was on probation for dealing in drugs. You said drugs, man. Go, yeah, I
how old is the
one.
Kid who's standing next to you hearing about molestation and drugs and the S-bombs being tossed out?
My oldest son is 10.
Perfect. And now you're going to have another child.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should slow down a little on the children until you get your affairs in order.
My files is in order. I'm on probation and everything.
Oh,
mazel tov. That's wonderful.
How will you support your new child? Do you have a job?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a mechanic. I'm a trade. I'm licensed.
I see. And what do you make?
Instead of sitting there making fun of people on the radio and stuff, you know, I work for a living.
What do you make an hour?
I make probably twice as what you do, buddy. I bring in about $300 a day.
If I thought that was true, I would kill myself.
Wait, I guess you need to make suicide.
Right now.
Buddy.
Right now. Twice as much as really.
Ace, I got to tell you, you know what? Objectively, I don't. This nasty jealousy coming through.
I like
your
the kid's chutzpah, though. I will say that
like
about
it too.
Him.
And he's a working man. Listen, my dad's a mechanic. It's a good profession. Do you think if I may take a guess here, it seems as though the one daughter, Mary Alice, was molested by Charles. Was Amber also molested?
Yes. It was never Charles, but yes, it was said.
Okay.
They were taken away from Charles and Peggy.
Okay, so what I'm asking you to do is possibly get some birth control folded into your life here, so you do not...
I'd be like riding a rain jacket out in the rain. I just don't believe in it.
Don't believe in condoms?
Is that what I just said?
Right, but you have four kids. Right, you have three and a fourth on the way.
I got two, one in Florida, one in Alabama that I ain't never seen.
And you don't find that, you don't think that makes you a bad father?
Oh, it makes me a hell of a father. You know, because I can't see my kids. You don't think I regret it every day?
Yeah, well, I'm asking you not to make that mistake again.
Adam would like you to stop having children.
If God wants me to have them, God will let me have them.
That's true.
All right. Well, you do make a valid point there.
Fair enough.
We're, by the way, speaking to a man whose name I don't know because he won't give it to me, although Cletus is at the top of my list.
No.
No?
You'll never guess my name.
Hmm.
My name starts with two letters, and that's it.
It starts with two letters.
My name is two letters.
Oh, just two letters. Well, I'm going Al or Ed.
Nope.
JD.
Nope. But close.
Oh, close.
Oh, let's see.
JR?
Nope.
JT.
I think your middle name has to be James.
Nope.
Hmm.
RJ?
Nope.
This is great radio. All right, hang on there. Who cares?
J-O.
We originally started by speaking to Peggy, the 500-pound woman who's lying
but
in her own filth.
Back. I'm done.
Oh, come on, buddy.
I want to know who in the family has the most teeth.
So I'm going to have to go take my medication.
He's got to go impregnate some other women.
What medication is he taking? Methadone?
No.
What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you know.
It's something to eradicate crabs, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Amber?
Why do you have to be a smart aleck?
Yes.
Well, I got...
Yes, Adam, why?
I will be... Well, part of the reason I make half the salary your husband, the diesel mechanic, makes is
barely.
Because of my ability to crack wise. So it is in the job description. They said, listen, if you want to make half the money that Cletus from Kentucky makes turning wrenches all day, you're going to have to ratchet up the wise alecky remarks. But let me say this, Amber. I hope you can understand this. I'll try to put this in as simple of terms as I can. I really do worry about your unborn child, not only for the stress that it's going to put on. Yes.
Your problem.
Oh, yes, it is. You know why it's my... I'll tell you why. I pay taxes, bitch. That's why it's my problem. You understand? I have an ATM I'd like to go to without being stabbed. That's why it's my problem. I have kids who I'd like to send to public school. That's why it's my problem. I pay for prisons. I pay for rehab. I pay for everything. That's why it's my problem.
Social
Your mom's
security.
Home. She's on the dole. She has a son. He's collecting a check. I'm guessing Cletus over there has been put through the system so many times that it's probably cost the good taxpayers of Tennessee at least $1 million. Yes, it is our problem. Of course it's our problem. Listen, hold on. I'm not done yelling. This sort of, we have rights. Yes, everyone has rights to do whatever they want until they start asking society to chip in. And then we should strip those rights away. Have as many kids as you want. Do whatever you want. But when you ask society to foot the bill for the kids, now becomes our problem. And guess what? We get a vote. You know why? Because we become your employer. If you're getting paid by someone and you walk down the hall and your boss passes you and says, I'd like you to meet with me. You don't say to him, oh, who are you? You can't. No, he's paying for you. This is what taxpayers do. We pay for you F-ups to crap out kids. And yes, we should have some vote because we are your bosses. We're your employers. You understand? The check you get, that's us. It's not one of us. Doesn't have my name on it. It has everyone's name on it. And just like your boss, we should have the right to tell you what to do. And this person should be sterilized, obviously. And
so,
and then especially, Mr. I got a kid in Florida and I got a kid in Alabama and I don't wear a raincoat out in the rain. It's ridiculous, by the way, who is turning wrenches for a living. Jesus Christ. This guy, in my world, would be put down, but certainly sterilized. And you want to talk about problems. Who does more damage, big picture? Who costs us more? This guy who's going on his fourth kid? And by the way, how much has he cost the system thus far? Oh, because you got bailiffs and you got judges.
Parole officer.
You got court-appointed this and court-appointed that. How many visits have officials made to his house? How many times has he been put through the system? You think those prisons are free? Do you think the court-appointed attorneys, they get paid zero? They get paid in pixie dust? He has probably, this one guy, has probably cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then think about the damage. Think about what his offspring, think about what that young son who's grown up without daddy in Florida is costing us. Think about the other one in Alabama with the abusive stepdad who's going to beat the F out of him. He'll thus then go on to beat the F out of the folks he sees in his junior high, and then he will hook up with another woman, and then they will crank out some more kids, and so on and so forth. You want to stop it? You have to nip it in the bud. You don't run around and look for every roach in the house and stomp on it. You go find the nest and you burn it.
I think we found it.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. The idea that this is the nest, this is the birthplace, this is the nucleus of all problems, and yet we never address it. We never look into it. We look into what happens later. Well, once his son in Alabama turns 17, then it's time to start focusing on him. Prison, rehab, social work. Uh-oh, look out. He had a kid. Now we have to turn our attention on that kid. Really? Maybe we should just start a little earlier. Maybe we should start in the form of birth control. And the idea that these guys are self-righteous about the damage that they're doing to this society, the idea that they're indignant that somebody dares speak to them, that they announce proudly, hey, I'm on parole. With dignity and with great pride, he announces, I'm on parole. Don't be coming at me that way. Do you realize what these people cost the system versus the folks that grow up in nurturing environments, the folks that grow up with loving parents, the folks that grow up in families that are planned, what do they do? They just pay taxes. That's all they do. So we stomp this out. We stomp out the prisons. We close the rehab shelters. There's no more soup lines, no more flop houses. It all goes away. But yet, we'll not address it.
I hope Peggy eats him.
I do, too.
Well, he better be soft because she does not have all the teeth.
My God. Imagine the 4-year-old who's standing next to that guy.
It's
Oof.
Very sad. And I feel, for Peggy, I'm torn between feeling so badly that she's 500 pounds and so angry that she allowed her daughter to be raped because she had to have known what was going on in that house, and thereby she's responsible. She should have taken him out back and shot him in the head for raping her daughter.
Thank you. And the four-year-old son, who we now, our heart goes out to, soon we will have outrage when his name is brought up because he stabbed somebody. He sold some drugs to somebody who OD'd. He robbed somebody. He whatever. Fill in the blank. Soon, that guy will be 17 or 18, and we will be calling for his head. Now, he's a young, innocent child just looking up at his drug-addled pops. Soon, we will demand that he be put to death or put in prison and the key thrown away.
Well, maybe. Maybe he'll stab somebody over in Europe when he's doing a semester abroad. It's possible.
All right. Now, is he going to, like, a culinary school over there? Or do you
London School of Economics?
I was thinking Ivy League, but yeah. Right.
Perhaps, I see.
Well, I think we'll be following this court case because, as it happens, Charles and the his stepdaughter, Mary Alice, are both on charges of neglect, and he's on charges of incest.
I got to tell you, when I'm in charge, forget about the courts. I call an airstrike. That's it. I keep them on the phone long enough to lock in the coordinates, and then I call in an airstrike. And they'll not be smart bombs. I'm not going to waste smart bombs on dumb people. That'll be my announcement, by the way, from the podium. I will carpet bomb. And sorry if the neighborhood has to go with them, but I look at them as accomplices.
Well, I'm surely related anyway, so
yes.
May as well take them all out.
All right, we need to take a break. Well, that took a turn for the ugly. I just can't stand it when people have a lot of pride. Here's the thing. You can't have pride. Your life can be proud, but you can't. You can't have pride and then have no reason to be proud. You're on probation. You have a bunch of kids you don't know. You have a crappy job. You're on medication. You're currently abusing a four-year-old. You can't have a ton of pride.
It
drives me nuts.
I'm upset with Cletus because he ruined what was really a nice thing, talking about the lady who has French fries eaten off of her by her stepdaughter.
Yes, and he doesn't know it, but he talked the poor Peggy right out of one of our robotic vacuums we were going to give away to her.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. That's going home with the Ace Man now.
And the fries are going to stay in the shag carpet.
That's right.
Or at least under the Hooters gift card.
Okay. We'll take a break. What are we talking about? MTV?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the VMA. We got some, I got a story to tell about that, how I launched my career, and many, many thoughts on the MTV VMAs after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Last week, the Friday morning bitch bag took an unprecedented turn.
Three-way tie! The first ever!
A three-way tie.
Big Tad.
Fat Tad, because all he does is complain about everything. Everything.
Brian, the sound effects guy.
He goes way too overboard with the sound effects. Clever. Less sound effects equals better show to exclamation points.
And the Ace Man himself.
My bitch bag is for Adam for defending Teresa last week when she was wrong.
Well, sort of.
You've been kissed into the bitch bag, T. Yeah. You thought you were immune.
Now three have immunity.
Let's go!
Stick around to see who wins. Bitch bag four on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, that is coming up shortly. We're going to talk some VMA talk, but the rant has lit up the phone line, so we'll talk a little more about society's ills, and then we'll dip into the MTV business. Perez Hilton is going to be calling in. He was there, I believe, and he's going to call in from New York City. Also, we're going to play Which Weighs More, Big Tad, or various large items. Much more to go. Also, Big Tad in studio talking about and recapping his rib-eating contest that took place in Reno. Kobayashi, the great hot dog-eating world champ, is going to phone in and weigh in, pardon the pun, on that. But let's just continue our conversation from last segment. Sarah?
Yes?
You have a comment?
I do. I just wanted to say that I think that was absolutely phenomenal, and I think that more people need to speak that way because our country is ridiculous in the way we take care of idiots.
Well, the thing about it is if you just do some, thank you, Sarah, if you just do some fairly simple math, stupid people, they reproduce a lot faster than smart people. That's their thing. They have the numbers. We have the money. We have the brains, but they have the numbers. They reproduce. This guy, this woman's 21. She had a miscarriage already, and she's currently pregnant. The guy, I don't know how old he is, but I imagine in his 20s, is now going on his fourth child. Dave, how many kids do you have?
I think zero. Well, right. I haven't had sex, so it's hard to...
Yes. Or... Yeah, or really the Pittsburgh Steeler roster.
Those are your babies.
Are your Teresa?
I have none.
You have none. Brusca?
I got one on the way.
One on the way, but technically none. Brian? Zero. I guess you have to get laid.
Oh, come on.
Oh, his sound effects are his children. But I should say this. You made the excellent point, Adam, that we are footing the bill for all of this guy's, state-appointed attorneys and his parole officers, and we're footing the bill for their food stamps and for their Social Security and their disability. Now, a number of people are calling in because they would like a tape of the rant that you just went on.
Wow.
This is according to Brusca.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm flattered. I've always felt this way, and I feel like as their employer, it's time we speak up. So, do the math. Dumb people and troubled people, and it's not their fault. We are essentially saving them from themselves. I know, you know, who made you God? No one made me God. They made me smart, and they put money in the bank, and I pay for it, so we get a vote. And here's what we say. We will save you from yourself. You're the product of incest. You're the product of abuse, physical, chemical, whatever it is. Your decision-making process is not good. You're scrambled. You're altered. Just like you can't drive when you're drunk. No one's saying you can't drive, but when you're drunk, you can't drive. Why? You're not capable of it. At 21, when you come from the kind of family that this girl came from, you're not capable of making informed decisions on what is arguably the most important job there is, raising another human being. That is the most important job you have in society, and yet anyone can do it. You certainly can't fly a jet airplane, and we certainly wouldn't trust you with the books for our company, but you can go ahead and screw up a couple of young lives. That we don't get a vote on. So here's the math. These people breed at an alarming rate. I mean, look, there's five of us in this room, and all we have is a couple of kids between the five of us. Everybody is in their 30s, while Brian, not technically in his 30s.
29.
His scalp is in his 80s. Man was bald in the seventh grade.
With gallbladder disease.
You're an honorary 40-year-old, Brian.
I'm 27 years old.
I know, but look at yourself.
And I'm 29.
The point is there's 175 years in this room, and between our 175 years in this room, there are two kids 5 weeks old. That's all we've put on the planet. That is our footprint on the planet, two kids that are 5 weeks old each. Point is they breed at an alarming rate. Now, we can absorb it because we're smart, because we work, because we make money, because we pay taxes, we can absorb it. But at a certain point, they will cross the threshold. At a certain point, you do the math, they will outbreed us, and they will take over. And then, who's going to pay for the cops? Who's going to pay for the prisons? Who's going to pay for the rehab? Who's going to pay for the judges? Not them. They don't pay taxes. That's what the taxes go for. By the way, think of the other money that could be going toward. Think about the schools. It could be building, infrastructure.
Providing food and transportation for people in a hurricane.
Public transportation.
There you go.
That's
Head
right.
Head Start programs can use more money.
Right. Now, that's a good example. Katrina, that's a good example of a lot of people who probably financially or intellectually or emotionally shouldn't have been cranking out as many kids as they did. And then they were left without us. That's a physical manifestation of what happens when you cut your bosses off or when your bosses don't care or they get separated from you. Now, you're left to fend for yourself. What does that mean? That's a long walk to the Superdome to wait for someone to drop off some packaged food. You understand, Katrina is a microcosm of what happens when we don't get a say, when we're cut out of the picture, or when we just turn our backs for a few days and leave you out.
George Bush doesn't care about black
people. That's right. You drowned because we don't take care of you, because you crapped out too many kids, and you don't have a car, and you don't have a flashlight, and you don't have a wind-up radio and some canned beans. This is what happens. So you want us out of your life? I don't think so. You want us out of your life when you're driving drunk. You want us out of your life when you won't put a condom on with your girlfriend, but you want us right back in when Katrina hits. Now we got to jump in and literally bail you out. Well, I'm paying for these people, and I'm tired of it. And I think we need to step up and say something about it, because we can only absorb so much. And imagine the utopia if we could put an end to this. Sleep on a hot night? No, don't shut the front door. Just let the screen door. Just let the screen door be between you and society. Let the beautiful wind blow in from the outdoors. You don't have to deadbolt it. Why? You're not dealing. You're dealing with Brusca's kids. You don't, well...
Bobby!
I used to use Dr. Drew as an example. Maybe I should still stick with it. We don't have to worry about the Pinsky triplets. They're not going to bust in and put a shiv in you. They're not going to be strung out on crank and come into your apartment or in your house. So feel free, sleep the door open. Want to leave your briefcase on your passenger seat when you get out of your car at the airport? Leave it there. No one's going to break your window. Don't even lock the car. Why? We're living in that society, or we got a bunch of young My Name Is Earls running around. I love TV's depiction of what these guys are really like. I kept thinking My Name Is Earl the whole time, and I think this is the real Earl.
Yeah, but the real guy made the actor look like he was doing an overblown caricature.
Yes.
Cletus was really extreme.
Yep. Dorothy?
Hi, Adam. I hate to admit this, but I usually don't listen to your show, okay? I just happened to tune you guys in this week, and I've been listening. And I got to tell you, after this morning, you were so cathartic for me. I was sitting in my bedroom going, yes, go, tell them. Yeah, no, God, those idiots. Oh, Jesus, oh, God. I was
husband thought it was the greatest lovemaking session of his life.
I was going, go, Adam, go. I have been a registered nurse 36 years.
You're on the front lines.
I am.
Right.
Not a young woman.
Right.
I look pretty good, but I'm not a mom. But listen, I got to tell you, I have seen the abuse of people destroying their lives.
Yes.
You know, and then you have to put them all together again, and they get so upset with you.
Yeah, and what about...
not cure me.
What about
two months.
What about the fact that then they go out, get knocked up, start abusing their kids, and then you see them come
endless.
Into the...
Yeah, what we have is a cycle of abuse and people not caring about taking care of themselves, because they're third and fourth and fifth and sixth generation dole.
Of course, and society and the pussy politicians in charge will never broach this subject, because they can never get into telling people what to do as far as reproduction goes. And the second somebody says, well, listen, welfare ma, you've crapped out your ninth kid, and I'll tell you what, either you're going on Norplant or you're going in prison. Oh, the ACLU jumps in. Who said, who pointed you, God? Who decided, no, you effed up, and now we get a vote. We're your bosses. We pay taxes. I don't know how else to say it. And I wish the politicians who only want to talk about the residual problems, only want to talk about overcrowding in schools, only want to talk about broken families, want to talk about prison, want to talk about crime, want to talk about drug abuse. They talk about all the problems that emanate from this, but they will never talk about the problem, which is people who shouldn't be having kids having huge families. They won't do it. They won't touch it. And if you're a big enough puss politician, those are your potential. That's your constituency. Those are the people who will be voting for you in the future. You dare not offend that group of retards. I've had enough. I'm moving to Canada. We're taking the whole show to Canada. Brusca, fire up the Ace-mobile. All right, well, I'm all talked out. And the good news is you guys have had an earful of the Ace Man. Big Tad has had a belly full of the baby backs. So we have much in common.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
There you go. Thank God he never did sire that kid he thought was his. Big Tad is going to be in here to recap his rib-eating Vegas or Reno run. Also, Kobayashi, the great hot dog-eating champ, is going to weigh in as well. And then more MTV stuff, or at least some MTV stuff. Perez Hilton, the list goes on and on. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Earlier this week, Big Tad was in Reno for a competitive rib-eating contest. Technically, he was on Reno. And Big Tad, like all great athletes, had a post-game interview.
Now, who do you think would do the best on the Adam Carolla Show against you in the eating competition?
I think Dave Damashek, because he's been getting a little bit of a belly ever since he got married. Okay. Yeah, and if you're listening, Damashek, yes, I did say that. Lard butt.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, and I got to say, everyone who's on hold is calling up about my crazy rant from the last break can probably just get on with their lives because we're moving on to more important things, namely eating ribs. Although I appreciate the support and it warms my cockles.
People calling in to suggest that you run for president.
Well,
yeah, they want tapes of your rant.
This won't be the last one.
Yes, believe me, they will now. You've now enabled me. The next one, unfortunately, is going to be about something that society is not interested in, and you people aren't. I'll be doing like an hour and 45 minutes on garage door openers. Big Tad in studio. Speaking of wasting time, Big Tad, fresh off his triumphant trip to Reno, Nevada, in order to do a little competitive eating. How did you do, Big Tad, in the rib eating competition?
Well, it was the Best in the West Nugget Rib Cook-Off. They do this every year, and it was so much fun. But I, as you know, Joey Chestnut won again.
He did.
Yeah, he ate 4.5 pounds of ribs. Mm-hmm. I was last. I came in last out of 11 people. I came in last.
It's like being 6'9" and sucking at basketball.
Yeah, I know.
I came in with 1.5.
You know, you're around 350 last time we weighed you, right?
No, I was about 332.
All right, well, we're going to weigh you again because we're going to be playing which weighs more, Tad or various large items. We'll do that in the next break. Right now, we have a great champion, Kobayashi. Yeah. On the phone, Kobayashi.
What did I tell you, you loser?
Kobayashi,
don't start with me, bro.
He wins every hot dog eating competition they have at Coney Island every year.
Hey, you know what, the Tad?
What?
You sound fat.
Hey, Kobayashi, kiss my ass.
Well, listen, hold on
a
second.
Joey's going to take you out the next time at Nathan's.
Oh,
I don't want to fight you, Tad, because if you beat me up, you might eat me.
I'll squash you like a bug.
Well, Kobayashi, how do you do it? I mean, Big Tad seems to have the worst of both worlds. He's 350 pounds, yet not worth a lick in the eating competition. You, 160 pounds, yet you crush your larger competition.
It is pretty amazing that I can eat so many hot dogs and not to gain weight. But Tad just look at the hot dog and he gained 1 pound.
You're lucky. You're really lucky you're not in here right now because I'm in a bad mood.
You're really lucky that the fat around your throat don't choke you.
Mike, I can see why you're having some fun at Tad's expense. You predicted last week that he would come in last in this competition, and you were right. But your arch nemesis, Joey Chestnut, he won, and perhaps he'll be ready for you come this July 4th.
Adam, I'm so sorry. I was not listening because that does not make sense.
Well, you've won 6 years in a row, but it may not be 7.
Adam, no one can beat me. They are all losers, okay?
You're so confident.
I eat the same weight in a hot dog in my sleep, you fat ass.
Wow. Tad, I got to tell you, Those are fighting words. He's attacking you and your girl.
Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm not going to talk to this guy right now. You know,
he likes to make a love to a dessert,
but slowly.
Yes, he was humping a creme brulee when I came in this morning.
Adam, I like to do an impersonation, a real quick.
Okay.
All right, here we go. That is the sound of the bike trying to hold Tad's fat ass up when he's riding it.
I can't win with anybody, can I?
I gotta tell you this, Kobayashi, he is a warrior, he's a champion, but I like the cut of his jib. He's cocky, he's a showman.
He's cocky, but he baby backs it up.
Hey, wait a minute, you like him talking about Americans like this, and especially about your boy right here, about me?
Well,
yes.
I want you to know one thing. Tad is a fat.
The more you know. Well, I got to say, on one hand, I was born in this country. I love it. I'm a flag waver. I would love us to win the dog-eating competition on the 4th of July of all competitions, of all days. And Nathan's, Coney Island, the fact that this foreigner comes in and beats us every year. But I could, if it's anyone, it should be Kobayashi.
Beat me.
Will Joey Chestnut ever be able to beat you, Kobayashi?
No one can beat me. Nobody. You know what's so funny, Todd? When someone calls you a fat ass loser, they really mean you are a fat ass loser.
All right, Kobayashi, hang tight. I want you to hold on because
Adam,
we're. Yes.
Adam, guess what?
What?
Todd is a fat.
Kobayashi, hang tight, buddy, because we're going to play a round of Which Weighs More with Big Tad, and I'd like you to weigh in.
That's great.
So just hold tight. Why don't you eat like a couple of turkey legs or something?
I've already eaten a whole turkey while we were listening.
I can't even hear you chew. That's amazing.
I just swallowed.
Like a snake.
All right, hang tight, Kobayashi, the great hot dog eating champion. Kobayashi. On the line. He's going to be on hold. We're going to play a round of Which Weighs More. Call in. We have gifts. If you win, we'll send you one of those robotic vacuum cleaners. We'll send you to the James Toney fight coming up at the Staples Center. I think it's this Saturday as well tomorrow. Take a quick break. Play that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Todd's chunky, a chunky flunky. Todd's chunky, chunky, a chunky flunky. Fat ass.
Big fat Tad makes a break room scene.
Reading the paper, not doing a thing.
Sits on his ass
like a tub of goo.
Great big head with a low IQ. D-cup boobs.
Just like a lady.
Not so smart and filled with gravy.
Todd's chunky, a chunky flunky. Todd's chunky, chunky, a chunky flunky.
Yeah, I missed that one. All right, Big Tad in studio, fresh off his rib-eating tour of Reno, and no better time, Kobayashi, the great hot dog-eating champion, Kobayashi. There he is.
The great ass.
Oh.
Hey, Tad, a quick question.
Don't even ask.
Quick question, Tad.
What?
When's the baby due?
You know, that's amazing. I've never even seen Kobayashi interviewed. I had no idea that he had this much personality.
Wow, he is a fat.
Okay. Kobayashi, you're going to play along with us, right?
Oh, this would be fun.
Yeah, we're going to play Which Weighs More.
Oh, yeah, that should be easy.
All right, let's see. Let's start with Travis. Uh-oh, I think I just hung up on Kobayashi.
No, good.
All right, now hold on. Let's get Kobayashi to call back. If we could.
He'll do it.
Yes, I don't know if he's calling from Japan. I am. Sorry. Travis?
Yes, sir.
You want to play Which Weighs More?
Of course.
All right. Again, well, the game will be explained via the intro. Here we go, Mike Dawson.
Which Weighs More?
That's right.
That's right. Welcome to Which Weighs More, the game where you guess which weighs more, Big Tad or various large items. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see James Lights Out Tony versus Sam the Nigerian Nightmare Peters tomorrow night at the Staples Center and an iRobot Roomba Discovery vacuuming robot, mighty enough to handle any dorm room, small enough to keep under any bed. For info, go to iRobot.com.
All right, Kobayashi, you're back on the line?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that one.
No, my 1,000 pardons, my friend. It was my fault.
What did he eat while he was calling back?
I just ate a whole box of cereal. With some sake. It is delicious.
He is an eating machine.
Adam,
yes.
Adam, I just want to know one thing.
Mm.
Do you know that Tad suck?
All right. right. Well, let's play the game, Kobayashi.
This should be fun.
Here we go.
Okay.
Big Tad's present weight is 329 pounds.
Down
which
three.
Weighs more, Big Tad or a Kawasaki 800 SXR jet ski?
Oh, man. That is a tough one.
Hmm. Well, let's start. Let's.
All right.
Yeah. So you say Tad, Kobayashi.
Oh, of course.
All right.
They will never allow anything that fat and ugly on a Kawasaki.
Yes. I know. From your homeland. Travis, how say
I'm gonna
you?
I'm going to have to say Tad weighs more.
You say Tad weighs more. Jeez, Kawasaki jet ski. It's tough. It's hollow. It's fiberglass, yet it has an engine. I'm going to say Tad weighs more, too.
The correct answer is the jet ski. At 351 pounds.
You suck, Kobayashi.
So close.
Well, that's close.
Tad's proud.
Right.
He doesn't weigh as much as a jet ski.
But if Tad got on the jet ski, it'd be over 2,000 pounds.
You're on my side. Remember, Americans. Hello.
Yes.
How many chances do I get?
It's best out of five. We'll do okay. five. Here we go, Anderson.
Again, Big Tad.
I mean, Dawson. Wrong show. Sorry. Tad,
again,
very
Big Tad
delighted.
Weighs 329 pounds. Mm-hmm. Which weighs more, Big Tad or four Algonquin Trader brand 16-foot wooden canoes?
I would like to say Tad's a neck.
Just the neck weighs more.
It's the body
just
part.
The neck, he's way heavier than a four canoe. <He's not. laughs>
Travis, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go with Tad again. No offense, Tad.
Hey, none taken.
Going with Tad on this one, Tad. I'm going to go canoe just to be, just to zig while you guys are zagging.
The correct answer is Big Tad. The canoes weigh 280 pounds.
All right, Travis, you're 1-for-2. Kobayashi, 1-for-2. The Ace Man, 0-for-2. Let's keep going.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or 1,000 official Major League Baseballs?
Oh.
Did you say a meatball? I'm going to have to say, fat as a tag.
He had to do some soul searching, though, on that one. Travis, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tad again.
I'm going to go Tad on this one, too.
The correct answer is Big Tad!
Wow. Yeah.
What?
1,000 Major League Baseballs weigh 312 pounds.
And coincidentally, Tad, like a catcher, is often squatting over a plate.
Oh. Also, the balls are worth more. I know it's hard to put a price on a human being, but I think, arguably, the balls are worth more. Let's keep going.
Which weighs more? Big Tad or American Idol judge Randy Jackson before gastric bypass surgery?
Oh, I have a good answer.
Yes?
I'm going to say Tad weighs more than Randy Jackson and a Ruben Studdard put together.
The Velvet Teddy Bear and Randy. Wow. Well, what do you think, Travis?
I'll go with Randy on that one.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mix it up and go Randy as well on this one.
Kind of a trick question on this one. Just after Tad's weigh-in, we have discovered that Tad weighs equal pounds to Randy Jackson.
Oh,
gastric bypass surgery at 329 pounds.
So that's a push.
Wait. Let him go to the bathroom. Come on.
Yeah, Tad, blow one snot rocket and you'll get under Randy. All right, so.
Adam, you are funny.
Thank you, Kobayashi.
Tad, you are fat. Win or lose, Tad, you will always be fat.
Well, now, what's the score, Brusket? How do we go here? I think Travis is at least one up on me.
Travis has two, Adam has one, and Kobayashi also has two.
Oh, and Tad will always be fat. is true.
What's the next item on the scale?
Which weighs more, the uninflated Rugrats balloon from the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, or Big Tad?
Tad.
I had to think about it.
Oh, I used to have a buzzer. Tad.
Tad's actually going to be a balloon in this upcoming Macy's Day Parade.
Oh, inflated?
I can actually see strings hanging from his hand now.
Travis, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go back to Tad on this one.
You go Tad. I'll go Macy's Day Float.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Parade Rugrats balloon uninflated weighs more than Big Ten.
Oh, oh wow.
That is wrong.
It is heating up now.
So wrong.
Thanks, Adam.
This is the last one. Travis, I think we're tied up.
Oh, man.
Kobayashi, I think we're tied up. It's a three-way tie with one question left.
You know what they say in the Vegas? Always a bet on the fat.
That's funny. I'm calling from Vegas.
Oh, Dad, you are so fat.
All right. Let's do the last one. Here we go.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or an average male moose?
Travis, what do you think?
I'm going to say moose on that.
You'll say the moose.
Male moose versus androgynous hippo.
Yes, I will go Big Tad just so we don't have a tie. And the answer, Dawson, is...
The moose weighs more than Big Tad.
Yay.
To the half a ton?
Travis, you won, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. You can... What?
Which weighs more?
Until next time, that was Which Weighs More?
Nice job, Dawson. Kobayashi,
yes,
you're a great and proud warrior. You came up just a little bit short, but we'll be seeing you on the 4th of July. Yes.
Adam, I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
I have no respect for Fat Pat.
I understand. The great Kobayashi, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy for everybody.
Who knew?
He's so funny, Kobayashi.
I guess he is literally always has his mouth full, and they never put the microphone up to the guy. But I'll tell you, he goes off like a Roman candle.
Yeah, look for him on late-night talk shows to come.
Great Kobayashi. All right, Big Tad.
Real quick, I want to thank Hooters for sponsoring me for the trip out there. Thank you very much. And also, special thank yous to Mel, Ghost Boy, Cassie, Chris Payne, El Muchacho, Sims, Drunk Phil, and everybody at KRZQ 100.9 FM in Reno. They treated me really nice out there, and I miss them.
Nice job. Wish they could say the same. All right, we'll talk about the MTV Awards. We'll recap it. We got some tape. We got Perez Hilton, Gossip Queen, calling in from New York. He was at the show. I have my own thoughts and stories about the event as well. All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Yeah, there's Hollywood gossip.
Right for silence.
Worst is still to come.
The women. And then there's Perez Hilton.
Everyone is fascinated with Tom and Katie's baby.
Tom can't have children.
Allegedly.
Visit PerezHilton.com.
Tom's first wife said that he's incapable of having kids.
Let's see what the Hollywood gossip queen has for us today. Perez Hilton, right now.
All right, let's cut the fourth leg.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Perez is calling in from New York City. He attended the MTV Music Awards, Video Awards last night. I used to go, because the story I was talking about earlier in the show was, I used to go every year with Kimmel, because we used to go with the Kevin and Bean show, and we would attend and be in New York for a week, and it was fun. Great, you know, the great thing about being a morning show, when you travel east, you no longer have to get up at the crack of F. You get to get up at the crack of S. It's right. Basically what it is. Now, you overcompensate by going, we don't have to get up till 7:15. We're going out drinking. It's insane what happens to your life. But you stay up till 2:30, and you're at scores until 2:30 in the morning because you don't have to get up until the ripe old hour. Hey, buddy! Kimmel Carolla, man. Harry, use your funny money wisely, boys. Yeah. Went to scores. Chick ordered a Fresca, cost me $13, and took one sip and got up and left. I then had to finish it for her. I'm not a big Fresca fan, but if I pay $13 for a Fresca, I will drink it, even with the stripper slobber on the straw. Now, where was I? Yeah, so I would go to New York. We would go to New York, and I went to New York, I don't know, almost 10 years ago, and got a phone call from my agent in Hollywood and said, guess who needs to turn around and come back immediately? You have an audition for Loveline, the TV show. And I said, oh, please, I'm never going to get this. And they said, oh, this is very important. And I said, look, I live in Los Angeles. I won't drive to Santa Monica for an audition. The plane landed yesterday. We have 8 days. And Kimmel in New York is, let me show you my world, basically, is Kimmel in New York. It's all about eating delis and boozing and fun, and this is going to be awesome, and we don't have to get up till 8 in the morning. This couldn't be better. Nope, get on a plane and come home. And not come home, do a quick audition, go back to New York. Just come home and stay home while everyone else has fun. In New York, I really and truly tried to talk the guy out of it, but they insisted. I packed up. I flew home, left my beloved Jimmy in New York to eat deli without me, and well, next thing you know, I was doing Loveline. But I was there for the VMAs. I guess it would have been 96 or 97 when all this went down. Now we have not only Perez Hilton chiming in on this segment of the show, but there's a young man named Mitchell. He's, well, I say young, he looks like he's in his early 30s. He's an engineer for K-Rock, I should say K-Earth, up the hall. And he's handicapped. He's, I guess, a quadriplegic. Very much like you and I, though.
I'm except handy-capable.
Handy-capable. Right. He's into the celebrity news. He's always reading the Us Weekly and stuff like that.
I love Us Weekly.
Right. I think he has ALS.
Yes.
But he wanted...
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Right.
He's communicating via a voice synthesizer that he uses. He's very adept at it. So you just hang out, Mitchell. Chime in if you think something's good or you think something's funny. Perez Hilton will pot up on the phone. Perez?
Good morning.
Good morning. How was the show last night?
Well, I'll tell you the 100% honest truth. I didn't watch the show.
Were you there?
I was there, but, you know, usually, like, I ran into Sarah Silverman, a good pal of yours, and I ran into all these people, and they corral talent in the green room. Mm-hmm. And they have the show playing, but you can't really hear it.
You can't really see it. Right.
Everyone's getting drunk. And
right.
That's what I need to be observing.
Ah, who was getting drunk back there?
Well, there was a whole little, like, my favorite was before the whole, like, event even began, the whole Jackass crew, Johnny Knoxville, Ben Margera, Steve-O, they were already drunk.
Steve-O and, like, drinking. That doesn't sound like the Steve-O who I know, the Steve-O attempted to strangle me on my talk show.
That would be like Nicole Richie eating.
Not just drinking, but he was kind enough to offer me an herbal cigarette, which I politely declined.
Mm-hmm.
but
it's Amel Poppers or bust for Perez. All right, well, Perez, you say you spoke to Sarah Silverman. Teresa says that she was the hit of the show, and I think we have a clip of
that.
Yeah,
I thought she actually had the funniest moment on a sort of a dull show. This was hilarious. Here it is. Sarah Silverman.
Paris, I'm going to talk, and I just want you to listen. Okay? No one else is going to tell you this because no one else cares about you the way I do. You seriously need to lose weight. Okay?
Wow.
Sarah is hot.
Oh, you like Sarah?
You think she's hot, huh?
He has to type it in.
Yes.
I think she's hot too.
Yeah, I do too. And
what is she doing to
huge boobs? Oh,
hold on. Could you repeat that one, please, Mitchell?
What is she doing with Kimmel?
Oh, well, oh. She loves him. I think she loves him.
Listen, the non-computers have been asking themselves that question for longer than you've been in that wheelchair.
Mitchell'd like to take a run.
I like Ferguson.
Oh.
Craig Ferguson.
I thought he was talking about Fergie for a second from the Black Eyed Peas, but he's talking about Craig Ferguson.
So you're not a Kimmel fan.
He's so funny.
Craig
okay,
is funny.
Easy there, Mitchell, now. These are dear friends. You know, I got to say this about Sarah Silverman as well. She's beautiful. She's funny as hell. Not funny for a chick. Funny as hell. And you would expect her just to be insane, completely insane, a diva, whatever, either when she's not laughing, crying kind of thing. Nice, sweet, friendly.
Yes. Oh,
yes. All right. Let's get speaking of sweet. Sorry, Perez.
Great rack, though. Like, huge tatas that Sarah's
wearing. Man, what do you care?
I care. I love the boobs.
Should talk hamburgers with a vegan.
Well, speaking of boobs, what did you think of... Go ahead.
Well, Perez was there speaking of Sarah, talking about her, and so was Nicole Richie. And they, of course, were in the little green room, were trying to stay as far away from each other as possible. But the really interesting dynamic to it all is that Nicole is now dating Brody Jenner. And Brody is friends with me, and Brody's friends with Perez. So it's, like, weird because he would come up and talk to me, and then Nicole kind of got pissed. And then he went up and talked to Perez. And Nicole got livid that Brody was talking to Paris and blah, 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 blah.
Did she threaten to throw up on her? What?
No, she went and grabbed him and, like, Brody, we're going.
And how, well, wait a minute. Now, what does Nicole Richie look like in person? Is she that freakishly skinny?
Well, you're kind of distracted by her pretty clothes.
Yeah, she had a beautiful white dress on, backless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jessica Simpson was wearing something that, how short was that thing?
It was like almost like a long t-shirt almost. But what's really interesting is I love being at these things and just observing not only the celebrities, but everyone in their entourage. So there was one moment where, you know, we're all hanging out backstage and we're looking at the screen and Nick Lachey is presenting an award with Nicole Richie. Which is a little weird because now Nicole Richie is dating Brody Jenner, and Brody Jenner used to date Kristen Cavallari, and Kristen Cavallari used to date Nick Lachey, who was presenting with Nicole Richie. Anyways, so when Nick got on the TV, one of, like, Jessica's entourage people, like, nudged her, trying to be very discreet, to, like, watch.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're, like, divorced now, they still...
To keep tabs on each other.
Yes.
Yeah, Teresa, exactly. do you have some more highlights or lowlights from the show?
And I don't know if you hung out with the Pussycat Dolls, but I think their speech is worth noting in that between the six of them, I don't know what their combined IQ is, but it can't be high. They went on and
lower
on.
Than six, I think.
It could
That's
be.
Safe to say.
We put together a montage because they actually spoke for over 2 minutes, but here are the lowlights. Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, it's really heavy. Wow. Okay, focus. I'm so nervous. Hi, Mom.
I'm shaking, and we want to thank MTV and my mom. Her name's Elia. I love you.
I have to take a second and give love to all the dancers out there for making music look so hot. Y'all need some love, and I'm giving it to you right now. And I want to thank God for allowing us to be here tonight.
I wish I could dance.
Oh,
you want some hot scoop?
Yeah.
Exclusive information. I don't even think it's reported yet.
Ooh.
But Nicole, the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls, is dating Town Torriero, the guy that was in the Laguna Beach.
Oh.
What's his name?
Talon.
He was also briefly engaged to Kimberly Stewart, and he used to date Lindsay Lohan for a hot second. But here's the scandalicious part, too. Nicole, the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls, is not only dating Talon from Laguna Beach, but according to my sources, she's also banging the head of a record label.
Ooh.
And that's pretty fairly accurate information.
Now, do you think God is involved in the Pussycat Doll success, Adam, at all?
No.
Just God hates me.
Mitchell, by the way, is an engineer from K-Earth, is sitting in with us because he loves celebrity gossip. We just thought we'd weave him into the show.
He has to speak through his computer.
He has ALS.
Pussycat Dolls.
That's you right. Like them?
You like Pussycat Dolls?
Why do they taunt me?
They are hot.
Or...
Well, another interesting moment was I thought Pink has that song Stupid Girls where she clearly makes fun of Jessica Simpson, etc. And in her speech, when she won for Best Video, it seemed like she was trying to make fun of Paris Hilton. Take a listen.
I totally won. That's awesome. First of all, I want to say thank you to Dave Myers, who was not afraid to make this video with me. And I want to thank Jive for not being afraid to put the record out. It's all in good fun. Billy Mann for writing the song with me. I broke it. So. You guys have a really good night, okay?
Oh. I don't
she
like.
Looks like a dude.
Looks like a dude.
Oh, Pink does?
Yes.
Pink and Perez have the same haircut now.
Oh, really? You shaved the back of your head, Perez?
Kind of, yeah.
I can't. I like Pink. She did Love Line once and turned out to be quite a fun gal. I'm all right with her.
You got any dish on her, Perez?
No, she kind of stayed seated the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to see her, but she's cool.
I am gay.
Do we have one more clip to break to play before we go? No, we got it? All right.
Brusca said no.
Perez?
Thank you.
You feeling good? Thank you. We'll see you when you fly back to Los Angeles.
Definitely. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You
too. Safe travels.
Perez Hilton, everybody. Also, I want to thank Mitchell coming in here, engineer for K-Earth, right across the hall.
Thank you, Adam.
Yes, it was a delight having you. And
I love the show.
Oh, I'm glad. Glad you do.
And Dave.
Oh, you don't like Dave?
No.
Well, hold on a second. Now, Dave, I mean, we're fans of Dave over here. I think he does a good job.
I prefer Bill Simmons.
Oh.
The ESPN.com
like
guy?
Bill the sports guy.
Oh.
Brusca, push him out of here.
I love his columns.
I see. Oh. I see. Well, you have a lot of time to read. He suffers from ALS, although obviously his mind works perfectly. He has a discerning palate for sports. That's for goddamn sure.
And he loves pop culture.
Oh. He doesn't want to talk.
He's trying to talk to us, but he has to.
I love Us Weekly.
Okay.
Oh. My dream is to one day roll down the red carpet.
All right, Mitchell. We'll be hearing from you soon. I'd like to get you on with Kobayashi, actually, yeah. So you two go at it for a little while. Not a fan of Dave Damashek, but other than that, a fan of the show. All right, we have our bitch bag coming up. Also, news and sports and much, much more after this on The Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. The Carolla Show tribe has gathered together for a little something we call the Friday Bitch Bag. Everyone has to put a complaint about another staffer into the bag. And when the tribe has spoken, the person with the most complaints has to read them live on the air. Who's it going to be? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, first some totals, some overall totals. We've been doing the bitch bag. I guess this is our fourth go round. No surprise here. Teresa's at the top of the leaderboard with 7 overall. Don't start crying yet. Brian Bishop, 6. Well, it's amazing. I didn't know his last name until I just read it here, and yet he comes in second place.
It's an accumulation of all the weeks. I had 1, then 2, then we tied at 4. So
there right. You go. And so is everyone's number who's below
you. I haven't been immune yet. Dave and Teresa, or Dave and
Brian.
This is
Brian.
All right.
Excuses. Like a-holes.
Never had immunity because I waived my immunity.
All right. Thanks for that. Tad, 6. I have 4. Dave, 4. Brusca, 3. Surprising. And then it just goes out. And so Kyle, Jerron, these are the lightweights. So we tally up the votes, and then the person reads them who gets the most votes. We had a 3-way tie last week. That's Tad, Brian, and myself. So we're immune.
3 immune. So who knows which way this goes now?
Well, there aren't very many people left.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 immunities.
Mm-hmm.
I fear. I fear for the Jew.
I worry about Teresa as well. On the other hand, there's nothing funnier than when she starts crying.
I will say, though, Teresa's been so nice this week. I don't think she's going to be in.
Well, that's what the bitch bag has done.
I'm a better person.
I've said it many times. The bitch bag is what couples therapy is. When you know that at 2 in the afternoon, every Friday, you and the old lady are going to sit on a sofa and talk to a guy in a tweed coat about what you did wrong during the week. It is why parole officers keep people straight. It's why drug tests work. Unfortunately, you know you're going to have to sit down and you're going to have to be judged, and it straightens you out for the entire week. There should be a life bitch bag. The more you know. That's heavy stuff. Well, number 1 in the bitch bag, Brusca.
Oh.
No surprise there. Number 2, Brusca.
It's a mutiny.
out of the window.
Brush gun, bold print this time. The third name pulled out from the bitch bag. Charon.
Oh. Upset.
Fourth name pulled out. Dawson.
Wow.
Dawson all over the map. The bag.
The mood has changed.
No applause now.
Now one for Angie. Oh. Beautiful producer Angie.
What's wrong with you people?
They just don't want it to be them. They applaud any name that isn't their own.
She's the nicest person in the office. She gets a vote. They all applaud.
This is like Gladiator.
Program director Jack Silver.
Oh, I didn't know you could vote for Jack. I would have voted for Jack for sure.
Gets a vote. Hold on.
What gives, peeps?
Sorry, Jack. You made it in the bitch bag this week.
Rock and roll.
Okay.
August, Mike August. World's best in-building booker. Now, who else? Another one for Mike August.
Oh. Where's Loafers and his
So mom? Right now, myself and August are tied.
Yeah, both have two. It's getting... Mike August! Oh. That's a shocker.
Well, maybe Don King didn't show up today, so someone's upset about that.
Well, here's the thing. We didn't know that he was eligible for the bitch bag because he usually shows up after the show. Unless prostitutes are going to be here, in which case he's here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So August now with three, Bruska with two, and only two votes left in the bitch bag. Bruska!
Tie.
Let me say this.
I think this thing is rigged.
Hold on. Before we get to the last vote, do you realize that if that vote is not for me, that I went from being the bitch to having no bitch votes in 3 weeks.
Right. And that's the success of the bitch bag.
It learned me.
It either means that you've done a 180 in terms of your attitude and turned the staff around, or that you'll be cut loose later in the day.
Either way.
We all feel bad.
Either way,
not one vote for Teresa Strasser.
Unless this one.
No, this last one, Charon. That mean we have a two-way tie, Mike August and a young Jimmy Bruska.
That's no upset, but how did Geron get to?
I think he voted for himself.
Right. You see, now you're thinking.
You know what? I gave him my vote to make up for when his people didn't have votes.
Mm-hmm. Jack Silver getting a vote.
I got one vote. That wasn't from you, was it, Ace?
Truth be told, Jack, it was. Listen, that's all right.
He's crying.
I'll be in my office.
Labor Day weekend is ruined.
Jack really loves the Ace
Man.
I'm going
to drink myself silly with SEMA.
Yeah, if it was from Damashek, he would have looked at it as a feather in his cap, but from the Ace Man, it's Chris Fuller. I'll explain after the show. Remember the guy you gave a 2-2 in your valuation on Wednesday?
He's got a lot of twos.
Okay.
Mostly the guy's got twos, by the way.
He's the annoying guy you gave a 2-2.
Bruska? Oh, no, the Jew guy.
Yeah, Damashek. Damashek.
Oh, I like him. Big nose.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, the reading of the bitch bag after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Friday morning bitch bag ends in another tie. Power booker Mike August and producer Jimmy Bruska. It's about to get ugly. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Mike August, greatest Rolodex in Hollywood in studio. That sound you hear, by the way, is us putting the extra votes through a shredder.
Yes.
One of the mandates of the bitch bag was there'll be no residual feelings hurt by, oh, Dave got a vote or Adam got a vote. Let's read that. Only the ones who scored the most votes will be read, and we'll do that on the air.
I thought it was Jack Silver crying because you voted for him.
Hold on, Meyer.
Yeah.
You've been on hold for 40 minutes.
And actually, I've been on hold longer than that because my phone cut out at one point.
All right.
I'm driving up I-5 listening to the show on my phone, so it's all good. But, Mr. President, I think you should be president because I think your political views are something that we need in this country.
Thank you.
We need to start eliminating The people who are a drain on society, we need to get rid of them.
I agree, and even if that means saying goodbye to a few family members, there definitely will be on the list. That will be an uncomfortable conversation I will have to have with my parents, siblings, grandparents, and other Corolla members. Sorry, it's your son's mandate.
Do any of them get to stick around?
I might give some of them sort of, I'll get you a job shuffling some papers behind some desk somewhere. not in the Capitol, but many are going to have to be put down. And I think they'll respect that.
Hey, before we move on with the bitch bag, look who's on line 8.
Uh-oh.
The 500-pound woman.
Really?
Let's talk to her real quick.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. This is based on a rant I had somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour. Peggy?
Yeah.
I'm glad to speak to you again. A 500-pound woman was abused at home, not cleaned up, not taken out of her own filth, and forced to watch your husband have sex with your daughter, who's his stepdaughter.
And
yes?
They ate French fries off of her body.
That's right.
Why don't you let somebody know what kind of radio station you was when you called or asked for an interview?
Well, what?
You make fun of people and... you get the kicks off it.
Well, what is your fault that you find with the way I handled that? We spoke to another one of your daughters, who, by the way, is pregnant.
Amber.
Yes, and who had a miscarriage as well. And we spoke to her boyfriend, not husband, but boyfriend, the father of the unborn child who had children spread out in Florida and Alabama. And then he wanted to get into it with me. The guy's on parole, Peggy. Is that what you want? You want your daughter?
I don't know nothing about her boyfriend. I've never met him yet.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem.
And here's the deal, Peggy. Adam defended you to that guy. So
That's right.
We got 100 things to get to, so we're going to talk to you after the show, okay?
I'll tell you, I know you're calling from Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I know you're over 500 pounds, but James Toney's fighting at the Staples Center tomorrow. If there's any way you can get out, I suggest you do, and we have a couple tickets. We'll put them at will call. All right, Mike?
What do you say?
You know what y'all are?
Oh,
uh-oh.
No,
uh-oh.
No. Go ahead, Peggy.
You know, I was going to do a regular interview because that's what I thought you was.
Right.
Somebody that, you know, wanted to help and talk to somebody.
Right, but what did you really think? We're going to ask you for tips on how to beat the heat? I mean, my God. You're lying in a bed of your own filth, and you have a daughter who's having sex with your husband in front of you. What did you think we were going to talk about?
And by the way, Adam did defend you. He didn't listen to that part. He defended you.
I did.
To the people who were abusing you.
It's just the idiot your other daughter decided to hitch her wagon to got my ire up so much that I got into it with him.
Peggy, we love you. We got to move on.
We're big fans, Peggy.
Peggy?
Right.
Are you okay?
Listen, Brusca.
Not really.
All right.
No. I would like you to personally deliver a fruit basket over the long weekend.
Tennessee is not that far.
I'd like her to become our restaurant critic.
Okay, Peggy. Hang tight. We'll make amends on Tuesday.
She knows. She must be an expert.
All right.
Let's get to the bitch bag.
Oh, deuce.
Yes. The very important, the all-important bitch bag. Who'd like to go first?
I'll go first. Sorry. So someone's bitching me out here. My bitch is that Brusca sometimes makes an assumption about some work, but doesn't tell you about it until afterwards.
Mm. Vague. Mm.
Unclear.
Vague.
Unclear.
By the way, may I point out, Brusca is the first two-time winner.
Talking about it one time, and I only had 3 total votes, despite the fact that everyone thinks I'm such an a-hole boss.
This is your second time, though.
Yes.
Being selected. Right. Well,
yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes. So.
Well, that's what
I'm just
saying.
Pointing it out.
Throw an emotional French fry at
him. You're trying to antagonize me. I am not. I'm just pointing a fact out, you creep.
Go ahead, Mike August.
Mike August.
It looks like Katie Lang, if people want to know what Mike August looks like.
In plaid shorts.
Thank you. Mike is full of himself. He consistently interrupts people and never listens. What? This could also have a negative effect on his booking skills, which recently have been crap. On top of that, he shows up at 10 a.m. The show is over. Oh, but wait. He'll be here early if there's porn stars on. Yeah, he's an idiot. Just goes to show that he still hasn't gotten laid, and he has to drool over women who get paid to have sex. I bet you couldn't pay them to have sex with him.
Jesus.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
assistant,
I don't know what to say to that.
My assistant Lindsay is laughing her blonde locks off in the in
she's
the next
red.
Room.
She's yeah. loving this.
I have a feeling she may be the auteur.
No. She wouldn't stand in front of that window and laugh like a hyena.
Good point.
But obviously, she's agreed with every point and some that weren't even on the paper.
What say
she
you,
is
Mike?
Pure love that Lindsay. Who does she hate more, me or you?
You,
Teresa.
But
you.
It's a tough call.
Well, it's tough because Teresa doesn't creep her out sexually.
Oh. Yeah.
So you've trumped Teresa on that.
All right, let's move on.
I can try.
Here we go.
Here's my next one. Brusca is my bitch for planning today's segment with the fat lady. Making fun of fat people is not cool.
By the way, I agree. That's not cool.
No, I thought it was an interesting thing, and the person was in the news, and who knew which way it was going to go? And You never know. You never know, and I think it was interesting radio, so I disagree with whoever wrote this.
All right, Mike, you're second.
Mike August for being an ass.
No. Brevity is the soul of wit.
That's hilarious.
That is just... It's so constructive.
Right. Being an ass. This is so long, I'll try and zip through it. No. Brusca doesn't do a damn thing for the show. He doesn't even know how to make sure we get the break on time. That's ridiculous. How many times do I show a sign break? And
don't argue with me. I mean, the bitch.
The thing that really pisses me off is after we talk about exactly how to go about a show segment and completely forget about everything we've talked about, put something entirely different on the show rundown, blah, blah, blah.
You have to read it. That's the rule.
All right. And look who didn't read hers.
I read mine through the tears, biatch.
This is your first venture in radio, but just in case it isn't your last, let me tell you a few things.
Whoa.
As producer, it's your job to book human interest guests, which I do have help on that. Go over requests with engineering. Coordinate large projects. It's not your job to be on the air. I don't want to be on the air. Sometimes I'm forced to be on the air, like now.
Oh, you can't disagree. You're terrific.
I don't want to be
Does
on the air.
Does he need more airtime?
Next week, we'll get Billy West to read all the bitch bag, Brusca.
You have no business in the studio, blah, blah, blah.
Lenny said
is saying, let's go to break. You can't get the show to break on time. All right, listen. Adam, defend me on this. How many times do I say go to break?
I don't listen. He does a thing where he does the snap over his head as if we should go to break. I tune him out.
Sometimes we're late on break, but it's not my fault.
A lot of times he's just breaking his toast in half. You can't tell.
It's my fault. Brusca does a whale of a job here. I'm guessing that came from Jack Silver, right?
Oh,
he's not done?
You want
to get better, think you deserve a little more respect, do your effing job, stay off the air. I don't want to be on the air.
This is harsh.
Lindsay's enjoying this one, too, by the way.
Stay off the air and quit asking other people to do your job.
Wow. Sweet Jesus.
That was intense.
Oh, I thought these were... I really expected these to be jokes
I thought
today.
They were
going to
be softballs.
I heard
softballs.
August and Brusca. That's going to be light.
It's really... I don't know who wrote that.
I know exactly who wrote it.
You
oh,
do?
Really?
Oh.
It's Teresa. It's payback
no,
time.
No, I didn't. Oh. I swear to God.
Lie detector on Tuesday.
Oh, hold on.
Who are you going to have booked? The lie detector
Listen.
Guy, Brusca.
Hey, Brusca. Just so you know, I
Jerron, get on the phone.
Just so you know, I... Brusca, may I speak? Yes. Or I know you like to be on the mic, but I actually gave my vote to Jerron this week and did not vote. So you're wrong. Mm-mm. And in fact, you'll have to have another guess for who wrote that because it was not me. I did not
vote. And what's further, as you know, Brusca, you really can't guess at who it is and lie detector. You're lying. You can't do that.
Yeah, it was not me.
I can change the rules.
These
I'm
are
the
supposed
producer.
To be anonymous.
Well, do you acknowledge? Hold on.
Lie detector for everyone on Tuesday.
Do you acknowledge that was not me?
I have no idea who.
All right, Teresa.
I don't care to really.
Hold
be
on, let me chime
Honestly,
in here.
I could care less. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to whine for 2 hours.
No, it doesn't sound like that.
I'm just straightening
Teresa,
you out.
Teresa, these are a couple of gangs that are fighting in the streets. Do not jump in the middle.
I'm going to get a shiv.
Yes, you're going to get a shiv. I feel like that came from some sort of magical word processor that captured all
it
our thoughts
all.
And put it out and printed it out. I don't know if anyone did that.
Words hurt, right. Carola. Words don't. Let's go to break. How about that?
Wait, doesn't Mike has one more?
Mike's got one.
All right.
This is the same as the other one. It's the exact same.
Read it again, then.
Where do I start? He's rude to people on staff. Rude to people on staff. He thinks his crap doesn't stink.
Mm-hmm. Does it?
His booking skills are a joke. Why can't he get celebrities on the phone? Or why can't he get celebrities on the phone, but not in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
Also, come in early. It looks bad when the... This is supposed to be publicist, but it's mm-hmm. PUBLISEST.
Mm-hmm.
Let's guess who wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Are looking to meet you. We all have to make an excuse for why you are not in here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
I wrote it. It's with clearly Big Tad.
Did
right.
you really? Is this yours?
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Brusca's let the show go over time again.
Break! Everybody break!
So in love with the sound of his own voice on the air. He
I'm
wasn't
booking
looking
Kobe
at the clock.
Kobayashi right now.
Teresa, instead of taking shots at me, just tease the news, please.
All right.
I will once you acknowledge that I did not
know
somebody else hates you, and it's not me.
I don't think someone else hates me. I think someone just...
Then you didn't fully synergize the information.
Teresa, tease the news. We're running late.
Okay, I didn't cry today, but somebody cried last night on the news, and I will play that for you.
We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jessie Jane.
I rolled a 12-sided die to use my elven crossbow.
You dirty little bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, quickly, time for the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, quickly, I should say that Adam's rant earlier, we had dozens of calls wanting a copy of it. You can get it on our website. On to national news. President Bush said yesterday in a speech at the American Legion Convention in Salt Lake City that the war against Islamic militants was like the fight against Nazis and communists, and that a U.S. withdrawal from Iraq would lead to America's downfall. Now, he has to go on a series of speeches because, according to a recent poll, most Americans are against the war. Here is Bush speaking yesterday.
If we give up the fight in the streets of Baghdad, we will face the terrorists in the streets of our own cities. We can decide to stop fighting the terrorists in Iraq and other parts of the world, but they will not decide to stop fighting us.
Strategery. Say what you will about the Nazis and Hitler. One good outcome of that whole mess over there in the 40s was a nice negative comparison for us. You know, if there was no Hitler and you said, listen, this guy's a regular Hitler, people would go, who are you talking about? And yes. Same with the Nazis. That's the one good thing that came of the whole thing. We have a nice universal negative comparison. We can all calibrate our negativity on.
Yeah, best thing about Napoleon, someone you can compare mean short people to.
That's right.
Okay, now, Katie Couric is going to be taking over this CBS.
Brusca, you going to take that?
I was not.
That's an attack.
That's an attack. I'm sorry. Okay, Katie Couric is going to take over the CBS Evening News. Last night, Bob Schieffer, who will be stepping down to make room for Katie, got very emotional. Let's take a listen.
I'm the product of many things and many people. I don't buy into this self-made man business. You know, from my mom and my wife and my daughters. I really learned from them. And in the end, they helped me and made me what I got to be.
He had sex with all of them, by the way. He later on went to say that. We just cut that out for time.
That's why I care so much.
Yeah.
Well, Katie Couric debuts September 5th as the new host of the CBS Evening News. What was that, Brian? Oh, that was her? Oh. Okay. Also, the VMAs were last night, as we discussed at some length. But just to recap, best male video was James Blunt. You're beautiful. Video of the year, Panic at the Disco, something I never heard of. Best female video, Kelly Clarkson, Because of You. Best group video, Move Along, which is what I'm going to now do. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time. Do it, Dave.
All right, time is of the essence. College football is underway. It's a glorious time of the year. Valley of the Sun last night. Arizona State Sun Devils not so good against their crosstown weakling, cross-state weakling, Northern Arizona. They did finish him off, though, in the fourth period, as Oregon State did to their cross-state weakling, Eastern Washington. Best thing, though, South Carolina playing Mississippi State. Backup QB, a true freshman, came in for South Carolina. Listen to this character's name.
Freshman quarterback Chris Smelly made his first collegiate appearance. Second quarter, Smelly, deep for Kenny McKinley. McKinley, ridiculous catch.
Smelly.
What a name.
Joins the pantheon of Butkus, Dick Trickle, Gaylord Perry, Ronnie Tugnutt, so on and so forth.
That's a real guy?
Oh, yeah, netminder. Yes, in the NHL. Now, Toledo and Iowa State, though, even crazier one. Listen to this guy's name.
Throwing downfield behind the defense. Touchdown! Diarrhea McPenis wins the game!
hilarious.
By Diarrhea McPenis.
Well, at least when he has the runs.
Good for him that he overcame that name and still became a college athlete.
Any hole, I'll take it in any hole.
Oh, Dave. Nice job, Dave. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with a little segment we call So What Have We Learned after this.
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat, bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Sophie Monk and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just enough time to do a little segment we call So What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned that Big Tad weighs more than four wooden canoes. Did not know that. We've learned that a redneck diesel mechanic in Tennessee makes twice what I make.
Wow, surprising, but
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Or I make half what he makes. However you do it, he's rolling in dough. And we've learned that necessity is the mother of anal rape.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So, good times.
Like only yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour we were talking about anal rape. Well, I want to thank Joe Coy for calling in today. The great Joe Coy. He's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. You should be watching anyway, but especially tonight with our good friend Joe Coy, 1105 ABC. Also, coming up next week, Tara Reid, Tony Hawk, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Wolfgang Puck, Rich Eisen, Joe Buck. Wow. Pull August's name out of the bitch bag. Redemption. He's arguing with Big Tad in the kitchen right now, by the way.
Dude, you should have got Corey Hart in here, whatever the tattoo guy's name is.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Oh, just a long weekend. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.